someone's going to get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning.
Why, yes it is. Hey, you wanted the best, you got the best, the hottest talk show in the morning, anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, and we are broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. If you want to pick us up, anytime you got iHeartRadio, you can listen to the show. There are people that listen all over the country, all over the world on iHeartRadio. If you have Alexa, you can say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1, and it'll do it for you. Or Alexa, play the Monsters of the Morning podcast. It'll do that, too, so that's kind of cool. That way, you can catch us anytime you want to. And if you want to check out our YouTube channel, it's iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube. Real great way to kind of check out the show, see how we do it. Matter of fact, there's a really cool one of those phony phone call things. You can see how we do it. It's on the YouTube channel right now. So go check it out. The best way to find everything is monsters.fm. And there's something really funny as hell on monsters.fm this morning. I was in a little bit of an off mood, and this one little video changed my morning. So you can check it out at monsters.fm. What's up, guys? I'm Russ Rollins, host of the program, and with everyone this morning, we are going to do this until around 11 o'clock. Here's a gut rep champion of Palaka, Florida, Dirty Jim.
Hello.
The producer is the Angel of Boom, Angel Rivera.
Hey, welcome.
And to my right is Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
Till the top, never stop, baby.
You can call the show at 407-916-1041. Now, we'll do open phones at 8 o'clock, so you can call about whatever you want. So if you got something saved up you want to talk to us about, around 8 o'clock or so, we'll be able to talk to you then. You can always text us right now. Right now, if you want to text us, at 77031. That's 77031. You can text our show. We do text you back sometimes. Sometimes we just read what you're saying on the air. And it's a great way to communicate with live talk radio. And then you can email me, russ@wtks.com. And when you email me, a lot of times we use these emails on the air, and we'll answer your questions and whatever's going on. And that's all. That's all good when you do it at russ@wtks.com. I read something on Facebook this morning that had me a little like, ooh, I don't know what's going on there. I hope that's not what I think it is. Had me in a little bit of a weird mood. So then I started looking through some other stuff. And, okay, I know a lot of people like, there's a story out about how a lot of people now have more negative feeling about social media and stuff. And I think we talked about that a little bit yesterday with Dirty Jim. But sometimes social media things can make you happy.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I found a video, and if this doesn't make you laugh,
all right,
there's something wrong with you, is all, right. All I got to say. It's a monkey using a hairdryer.
Okay.
And I watched this monkey using a hairdryer.
You do have a weird fascination with monkies, though.
I do love monkeys.
When we talked about the zoo yesterday, you were seemingly unimpressed with every other animal, but then when we said monkey, you lit right up.
I know. Yeah. The monkeys make me laugh, and there's a monkey on the website. If you go to monsters.fm, it's I'll show it to you. I mean, I don't know. Just they're funny. Monkeys are funny. I guess because they're so close to humans, right? Hold on. Here's monkey using a hairdryer. Okay,
that's nice.
So you're smiling.
Yeah, he looks like he's enjoying it.
Monkeys like hairdryers.
It's making him look like he's eating an air lollipop.
Right. Angel, can you see the monkey using a hairdryer?
Yeah.
The monkeys don't make you laugh.
Not at all.
Oh, you're just being you're doing that on purpose.
He don't like you. Why don't you like monkeys?
No, I'd rather watch like an extreme video or a car stunt. I don't. Monkeys don't do it for me. I'm sorry.
A monkey doesn't make you smile.
No.
A monkey using a hairdryer.
No, I feel bad for it.
Aww.
Like, really? I'm sure that monkey would rather be in its own natural habitat.
I feel like
a monkey's been kidnapped and being used to amuse human beings. That's a great existence.
The last thing on that damn monkey's mind
is like, oh, some radio guy in Orlando is going to get a kick out of me using this hairdryer. Gee, I'd rather be back in the jungle.
I don't know. He looks pretty happy there. He was wet, so they used a hairdryer on him, and he's trying to eat the. Eat the air. That don't make you laugh?
No.
I
genuinely feel bad for the monkey.
Do you really?
He's got a soft heart.
He looks like a very happy monkey who's just trying to bite the air.
Trying to eat that air. That's all he's trying to do.
Yeah, that's all he's... He's sticking his tongue out at the monkey.
We like animal videos. My wife is more into... my wife is crazy about watching those big-ass geese. run after people and bite them.
Oh,
she thinks
geez.
That's the funny. Well, get them. They're not harming them, dude.
That's entertainment.
Yeah, they're not taking out their Achilles. They're just kind of nipping at them. But yeah, that's the funny because they get real protective.
Yeah.
So back in the day, they would protect castles with those things, right?
Because
they'd squawk, make a lot of noise, and they're hyper aggressive.
And drug dealers would get them to put them on their property because they're loud and
yeah.
Well, there's a study out about how, look, I don't know if the monkeys are trying to make me happy, but they did. They made me laugh. No one, you guys didn't think the monkey dryer was that funny?
He was all right.
It was all right? Okay. Well, do you know, they've determined now that dogs really do try to cheer people up. Now, how do you think they would be able to determine this? These are scientists, and they were able to finally definitely figure out how they can prove that dogs try to cheer people up.
Which means that you would say that dogs can recognize when you're not happy.
Correct. And not only can they recognize when you're not, when you're unhappy or sad, but that they purposely try to cheer you up.
Like there's a nurturing kind of nature to
yes.
them?
Yes. I would say
there's a better chance that they'll get a treat if you're happy.
Okay, no, that's not how they did it.
Because
no.
My dogs love me, there's no question, but they really love me when I have a treat in my hand.
Well, this study was entitled Timmy's in the Well, Empathy and Pro-Social Helping in Dogs. So they did a study to figure out, you know, if they really do try to help you. If you had to guess, how would you conduct a study like that?
Well, you base it off facial expressions,
okay,
body language, uh-huh. And then the dog reacts to it, maybe something like that.
A little bit, okay.
A nice study.
A study where you put people in their voice inflection,
yes,
and then figure out which dog goes to which person that has more stress in their voice.
That's pretty much exactly what they did. What they did was they had two owners, okay, and so they would have an owner and there are two different doors, and on one door the owner was whistling Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, happy, and the other one the owner was crying, and it said every single time the dog would go quicker and right to the crying sound mm-hmm. through a door than the happy sound.
Interesting.
Yeah, and they said that it proved that dogs have empathy and dogs do try to cheer you up. And they said that they've been doing this study. Let's see here. They did this study for like 5 years at John Hopkins University, proving that it is a fact dogs try to cheer up their humans.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, my dog's never in a bad mood unless I'm in a bad mood. Matter of fact, the texting server's checking in already this morning, 77031.
Yeah.
Save that as Real Radio Text, all the shows. We love it. Dogs guide you to success if you're paying attention.
Ah.
In other words, what they're saying is if you kind of recollect your dog's movements and actions, it's only like positive stuff. They're never, except when they attack you.
Right.
After that.
Actually, we got dogs coming in.
When, today?
Not today, but we're working on something out, so we're going to have some dogs come visit the show.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, and dogs cheer me up. A dog can cheer me up, make me happy. Not happier than a monkey, though. I mean, the monkey with a hairdryer, nothing can beat that. But
that's a given.
And I say, go to monsters.fm and check it out if you haven't seen it yet.
I like monkies, but I also know they're vicious. They're vicious.
Like they'll rip your face off.
They're so close to us.
Like they're we've made this thing where monkeys are so like human like, but they're not.
They're
a vicious
you
animal.
You guys don't
except
like monkeys.
I don't. I don't want my face ripped off like Carlos is saying.
Yeah, except for the bonobo tribe, I believe that all they do is make love all day out in some islands.
There's these monkeys and all they do is bone all day.
Those are awesome monkeys, and that's the kind of monkey world I would like to live in.
But these monkeys
but these
are
guys, cute. No. In the jungle with these guys, it's kill or be killed.
They're sitting in the grooming place, whatever, and they're being the hair
dryer.
You know
what that monkey rather be doing?
I don't know.
Grabbing poop and throwing at you.
Yep.
You know, I did think this. When I went to this zoo, Dirty Jim, I did think of you. And I went to the zoo, and they had these two monkeys, and these two monkeys were in their own cage together, and they're like, yeah, they've been there for, I think it's like, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can you imagine?
Right?
Imagine these two guys. And one monkey's on one side, one's on the other. And they kept looking at each other. And I could, can you imagine if Dirty Jim and I were locked up in a cage for 25 years?
With this guy, huh?
Yeah.
With this guy.
I mean, this is not a cage
because
it has an exit, but.
I do see the parallel.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, damn. Because this one monkey's probably looking at the other monkey because I don't want to. I mean, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't even hate the other monkey, but the monkey's been here. here.
Yeah. Like, after a while, the mountains are kind of boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. These, like, oh, there's the beach again. Yeah.
These two monkeys had no choice. They're in this cage forever. And there was another cage, and there was like 10 monkeys, and they were all playing and happy.
Uh-huh.
But because these other two monkeys are the same species, I guess, or same breed or whatever you call it, they were forced to be captive.
Just alone.
Yeah.
Because they don't want them ripping the face off the other ones when they start blow drying themselves.
Right.
Because it's so silly.
I did think about that a lot at that zoo, where I normally don't really think about that kind of stuff. Like, these animals are in cages.
Did a lot of pondering?
A little bit, not a lot. I mean, I still enjoyed the monkeys, and I still, I still fed the giraffe and the elephants and all that. But I did think, that's a small area for such a big giraffe.
Well, they understand. That's a problem. I think the animals that are in captivity are pretty much, are they bred in captivity? I don't believe you can go take an animal out of the wild and put them in a zoo anymore, right?
They're pretty much
bred into them?
That's what I think in my head.
I'm not sure. I think you can.
Really? I thought in the U.S. that you could not have a zoo, you could not have an animal that was taken from the wild and put in a zoo.
I genuinely don't know.
I don't think so anymore.
But
what I'm saying is,
back in the day,
that sounds like this Blackfish SeaWorld thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole thing. I believe it's kind of been that way for a bit. So, a giraffe that you may have in a zoo may have never known what it's like to be in the wild and stalked by a lion and had to fight for their own life.
Now, they did say this. They said the only animal out of all the animals that were in captivity, the only animals that you could release today and they would be just fine, none of the other ones, only the cats. All of the every one of the cats, you could the leopard, the jaguar.
Yeah,
you can't
breed that out.
All those cats,
wild,
you could release
man.
Them. Even your house cat, your normal house cat, you could throw that sumbitch out in the middle of the jungle. It'd be fine.
They're wild. All cats are wild, man. They get tamed for a little bit. They poop in that box in your house, but at any point in time, they're just like, I'll eat their face.
I wonder why that's the only animal that it doesn't lose its ability to hunt and gather.
Cats hate humans.
I don't think you can domesticate them, right?
Yeah, I guess not. But I mean, they'll go bathroom inside, right?
Yeah, you can domesticate them, but
to a certain degree, right?
Yeah, all cats are wild. There's a huge cat documentary on Netflix that goes well into this that I didn't even like. I don't even like cats that much because I've been allergic to them.
Yeah,
so it was kind of shut down to them.
I like the big cats.
The big cats are badass.
Big cats are badass. Yeah. I'm with you. I only say I dislike cats because they make me sneeze. So I have it's like Pavlov's dog or whatever. Like I see a cat, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna sneeze, so I don't want to be around it.
But I get it.
But as far as animals, I don't hate any animal. But they said cats could live out in the wild, right in the middle of the jungle. If you have your cat, you throw that in the middle of Africa, he's going to be fine.
Yeah, chances are, though, they won't last long because of they would be prey themselves, right, at that size?
Sure.
Hunting may be one of those things, but, I mean, avoid being hunted, I guess.
A morsel.
Texting service was checking in and saying, Russ needs to watch the monkeys. Monkeys riding dogs, you'll burst out in joy. You're right. That would make me laugh. I'm literally surprised that these monkeys with a hairdryer didn't make you guys laugh.
Mm-mm.
I giggled like a fool this morning.
You built it up too much.
Yeah, I think so. You oversold it.
I'm just trying to get hits on our stupid website.
Jimmy,
whatever.
You're right. Most zoo animals come from captive breeding programs.
Yep.
That means that the decisions have to be made about who breeds them in order to maintain a genetic diversity. And space.
Mm-hmm.
Zoos across the nation cooperate with each other and one another in species survival plans.
You know, when we talked about that jaguar that was in New Orleans,
turbo.
The one that was in New Orleans got out, and I think he killed eight other animals or whatever it was.
Yeah.
In my mind's eye, I did not actually view what a true jaguar looked like. What I was imagining was a smaller cat that I thought.
Oh no!
You know what I was thinking about? The silly little logo on the side of the car. I'm like, well, little cat, right?
No, jaguars are big.
Oh my god! And they're hungry all the time. This thing was looking at me like he would eat me if there was not a glass in between. He definitely would have eaten me.
That's exactly what he's taking.
They're big ass animals, man.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, they take down zebra, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an 1,800-pound death horse.
What was it?
They take kicks to the face. I mean, they're unbelievable predators at the highest level. Apex predators, man.
Didn't you say that was the same animal that grabbed an alligator or a crocodile out of the water and
200-pound
and pulled it up a tree?
A 200-plus-pound gator right behind the back of the neck. And then climbed up a tree like I would walk out of this room to go to the bathroom. I mean, no big deal. His own body weight up a tree plus the body weight of the gator being held by his mouth.
See, but those cats don't make me smile. Monkeys make me smile.
Cats don't make me smile either, except when they're pushing stuff off the edge of off the edges of tables, which they have a fascination with, and that makes me laugh. And I don't know why. And it's just because they're douchebags.
You just reminded me, the funniest cat videos that are out there right now is when you throw a zucchini near your cat.
Cucumber cat.
Cucumber cats.
That's funny.
That's
funny.
Hysterical.
That's funnier than you setting something on the counter, and then the cat goes to just kind of paw it off the table to hear it fall, and then when the owner yells, the cat will stop for a second, look the owner dead in the eye, and then while maintaining eye contact, still knock it right off the counter. See, that's funny.
Yeah.
See, I don't know what makes me laugh more. Is it monkey with a hairdryer or the chicken wearing pants? Both of those.
So you need the one of those for me.
Well, you've got no sense of humor, then.
I like fall videos. I like human beings eating it.
Well, okay, with an animal, what animal video makes you laugh, Angel?
None of them.
None of them.
Man. Unless puppies. Puppies.
Puppies.
Puppies playing.
Puppies playing. Puppies.
Hey, oh, and the goats. The hopping goats.
Okay, all right.
Hopping goats. Oh, you'll get a little smirk out of me.
Okay, well, I challenge you. I challenge your your goats, whatever they're doing, against my monkey and hair dryer. Put your goats on the website, and we'll see what gets more hits.
Okay.
We did a video of baby goat yoga, and I got my ass kicked by a bunch of baby goats.
I would love that.
Oh, my God. It's great. It is absolutely. There's a lady here in town that does it. You can go, and it's free. You're just going to step in. I mean, you want to donate something, but you get to feed them milk and do the whole nine yards. I have to tell you, I had a whole new respect for goats.
Yeah, I saw that baby goat yoga on some show, and I was like, oh, I never heard of
everybody's
that before.
Everybody's doing it now,
And then it was like a wave of seeing it, and it looked fun.
Now they have kitten yoga.
Oh,
or cat
yoga,
we can do it.
Sense.
It's up on my part of the website there. You can see it.
Did you have fun doing it?
Huh?
Did you have fun doing it?
Yeah, I did it with Deb. And we went out and they got
Didn't
all jumped on.
Did Sabrina go with you?
Sabrina was out there with us.
Yeah.
It was fun, man. We had a really good time. And it was actually oddly relaxing because it's in the middle. It really isn't in the middle of nowhere. It's not far from where you live, actually.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of off the beaten path. But where that is, once you get off the Highway 50 there or whatever, you can go back in those little roads and find people that have an acre estate. And that's what she has, you know?
Well, I guess the point of this segment was animals can make you happy if you're in a bad mood. There you go. And wrap it all up. All right, you're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Hey, Angel, let me revisit something that you said, because I do agree with you on this. Because I was all, you know, I still am hot on the monkey using a dryer video. I still think that's funnier than hell. But when you said you like when people fall, and you're right about that, I did watch a video the other day of like big guys and big girls getting on motorcycles and them falling off of them. Then nobody got really hurt. You know, like I don't like to see anyone ever get really hurt. But it was all these fails of people trying to ride a motorcycle.
I do enjoy that.
Or like the throttle gets stuck and this woman goes through a fence. She was okay. As long as she's okay, I can watch those.
Yeah, because there's a full detailed explanation of what happens afterwards to them.
Yeah,
one of the funniest videos in that regard, it came out a few years ago, and every time around wintertime it resurfaces. It's this dad who's just dropped his kids off at school. It's up north.
Yeah.
And all the kids are trying to walk up this icy sidewalk.
Oh my God.
To get into class.
I think it's like 100 million views.
Dad's in the car and he's just dying laughing.
Eight-year-olds just eating
it. They're eating it. And then we say 8-year-olds are rubber people. It's not really going to hurt them, you know?
As long as they're okay.
Yeah. But the dad, it's just that hearty, like, good laugh, you know what I mean? And it's innocent enough, you know? It looks, you know, like the kids didn't really get hurt.
Right.
But you got me on this thing with the animals now.
Yeah.
So I put up a video of goats just because.
Oh, good.
Cute goats. And thank you to the texters because I needed this. Death metal rooster. Yes, it's exactly what you think it is.
Okay, I'm
so
down
you gotta
with that
go to monsters.fm to check it out.
I'm down with that too. That's hey, welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim.
Oh yeah,
Angel,
we're doing a show.
And Carlos. Yeah, we're doing a show. That's okay. you know, I was just talking to Carlos about something, and I'm trying to tie it into everything in the news or everything that's going on. Of course, you hear and we've heard that one of the biggest problems in the country is depression and isolation and people feeling lonely and all that kind of stuff. And I'm wondering if, because I told you, and I'm not going to say what it is because I don't know for sure yet, but I saw something that would would typically upset me if the whole thing of what I'm thinking is true. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like, okay, I got to be in a good mood. I got to do something to make sure I'm not in a bad mood. So I see the monkey video. I'm looking for other things that kind of keep me happy. I wonder if that is part of depression when sometimes people don't recognize that, hey, this could really upset me, and they don't do anything about it, or what they do about it is they offset it in a different way with alcohol or with drugs or maybe not offset it at all and just go down into a wormhole of being sad. Because it's a natural thing. I normally don't run to some monkey video to make me laugh. But, you know, but like, I'm like, okay, this is working right now. This is going to put me in a good mood. I'll watch this. I wonder if that is a natural thing in some people's heads and some people it's not. Like, Jimmy, if there's something that you're dealing with that you know is going to get you kind of in a bad, surly mood, do you do something to offset it other than just spin around in the sadness?
Hit golf balls.
There you go.
Usually, okay. I go to the range and I'll just put my headphones on and grab a beer or something and a big old stack of golf balls. I'll just go to the far end of the range and just kind of tune out and hit golf balls. I've done that for many, many years.
So that's a natural way to fight depression.
That and drugs.
Okay. Well, yeah. It worked.
No. Yeah, that is. I'll go for a drive. I just like driving around. Like Saturday mornings for many, many years, we've talked about it in a comedic manner. But, you know, I go out and I'll load up my dog and get a cigar and go around the estate sales and just drive around Orlando. I don't know what it is. I like riding around.
Yeah.
Part of getting this car thing that I'm doing is just drove it around yesterday for like an hour and a half, just driving around. Yeah, I mean, I just like doing it. Put the windows down, listen to music, and drive around.
Hey, that's what you like.
I mean, that's what I like doing. I don't know why.
Yeah.
That's a thing that we as humans, especially now with this social media age, I know Carlos is very cognizant of this, of what you let in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you are constantly letting all this kind of stuff bombard you, it is going to have an effect on you, and you might not even realize it. You know what I mean? So if it's constant negativity, if it's constant, you know, just over the tops, and you don't have a release valve for that,
right,
and that is going to change your perspective. That's going to change you.
Yeah, you're right about that. But if you just watch monkeys, you know, with hair dryers, it makes you laugh, then that'll put you in a good mood.
Balance, man. It's all about balance.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go away. Like, because I know what you're going through. I don't want to, or not what even you're going through, but the news is not fun news. Might be about somebody. And you can't totally not look into it because you want to at least show sympathy or empathy or whatever you want to call it for the situation. But at the same time, you can't stay there the whole time.
Correct. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It is at a little bit of balance, and you do a radio show. That's the biggest difference. Is a lot of people can get stuck in that depression. You have to figure out a way to get out because you're the host of a radio show, and part of your job is to be perky and happy on the radio.
You got
to
be happy for 5 hours, no matter what. Yeah.
So you have a deadline of sorts
for your emotions.
For your emotions, and most people can go to their work, go to their cubicle,
and still be upset.
And still be upset. They work the entire day. And maybe a couple people may come up to him and ask him a couple things, but they're still in that same mood that they may have left with. So,
you know what a lot of people use to get into a good mood is going to the gym.
Yeah, of course.
That just puts me in a worse mood.
Or a release.
I went yesterday, and I'm like, I went the first time in a long time. I mean, it's been like a month or so, or maybe.
Did you get one of these? Holy hell!
Oh, of course I did. Yeah, the dude I know, there's, hey, man, I've seen a while wrestling.
Thanks a lot, dude. I appreciate that.
Yeah, there's a lot more to see you now.
Yeah. Wow, that shirt's tight. You're wearing a tight shirt today. But you know what? Getting back into the gym, man, I'm like, okay, when I left, I was doing this. Let's see if I can. You can't even do it.
That is the weight
I was up to, man. I was pushing some heavy weights. I tried to even pick it up.
The fall off is quick.
It's so quick.
Especially, I don't even know that guy anymore.
Man, and then there was one. Oh, this is just true. There's one guy there who's a trainer, right?
Yeah.
And every time I'd go there, I'm like, I'm in better shape than that guy. He's a trainer here. You know, I'm in better shape than that guy. Look, he's got a doughy. Man, I went in there yesterday. He's now ripped and he's in great shape. He doesn't even look like the same guy. I'm like, is that the same dude? And he's like, yeah. He stuck with it, man. He looks great. I don't even know him, but that's walked up to say, man,
don't do the Carlos.
Yeah, I know. I miss my BFF. He doesn't even know it.
That would be out of line, though, right? To walk up to a dude you don't even know and say, man, I haven't seen you in a while. You really look.
He would have loved it.
You think?
Are you kidding me? A random dude that you'd be like,
you notice me?
But you know how people are. People are like, oh, look, you're gay. You must be gay.
Well, obviously, you'd be gay if you did that.
right.
I mean, no, I think you're secure enough. It's a funny thing. Like, look, man, I know you don't know me, but I seen you at the gym before. Looks like you're doing pretty damn good.
Yeah,
look at me. I ain't doing that well.
Yeah,
I would immediately think you're gay.
I ain't seen you in 3 months. I'm fatter than hell. You look great.
You want to go out for a coffee?
You're doing something right there, Captain.
Can we talk about this?
The bad part is, in my head, I kept kind of shaming this guy. I kept going, you're a trainer here, and you're that doughy. I'm like, look at your doughy son of a bitch. And now I'm walking in, I'm the doughy son of a bitch.
Man.
And this guy is ripped. He looks great.
Yeah, man.
But you know what, man? That whole working out thing, you got to stick to it. You got to be there all the time.
It's
such a commitment.
Yeah. Man, I leave my neighborhood at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I have to always pause for this group of people out running, like 30 of them.
They love it.
Out running
sons
around the neighborhood.
Bitches. Sons of bitches.
With their light-up sneakers. And their reflective vests, and they're out there just wrecking it. 5 a.m. That means they got up earlier than that.
God.
And they didn't have to go to work.
I hate them. People.
Man, ugh. I'd rather just watch monkey videos and eat bonbons and potato chips.
But you know, about every other day, I get fully committed to becoming a runner when I see them running on the road. Yeah. Like, as I'm driving, and
you're
I
like,
see
the
them,
day.
And I see them, I'm like, man, that guy's got what it takes. I'm going to do it. When I get home today, I'm strapping on the shoes, I'm getting in the car, and then I drive by a Chick-fil-A, I'm like, ooh, sandwich.
When's the last time?
And then I forget about it until I see another runner about a week from then. And then I do
like,
the whole thing again.
And then the whole time I'm like, I thought I'd been running this whole time. No? Like,
have I not been running? Oh, damn.
Man, yeah. Being committed to it is... now, do you ever run? Like, run? You don't
like
run.
Like in the streets?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. I'm not stupid, Russ, and I don't want to die. No, I'm out in the sun a lot because I like to do stuff.
You
in
think
the yard
you can run a 50-yard dash right now?
Well, 50. Anyone can run 50 yards.
You think so?
Sure.
You think you could run 100?
100 yards?
100-yard dash.
Yeah,
and put up a respectable time.
Oh, no. I could never put
up a respectable time. No. Yeah, now you're adding stuff that's unreal.
You're just adding something, yeah.
Now you're being unreasonable. Look, I could run a 100-yard dash even. Let's face it. A
Move
very
quickly.
Soft use of the word when you use dash, really. Not so much of a dash.
Yeah.
Pretty much a...
Waddle.
Just a
100-yard waddle.
Just look like I'm running from a tsunami is what it would look like. I'm just arms akendo, just running crazy.
I took the dog for a 1 mile walk the other day and got out of breath.
Was it a spirited walk, as they say?
No, it really wasn't. The dog was looking at me like, can we speed up, Russ? I'm like, hold on, it's hot out here.
Yeah. Now, I've run a little bit with my dog because I got a new dog that likes to run and stuff like that, and then I run a little bit at the gym, but it's just. Not something that clicks with me, man. I'm just sitting there in my head or listen to music. I've tried the books. I've tried the other stuff. And I want to, though, man, because it looks... The people who are runners are like, yeah, it's my life.
Are they really happy?
Yeah, because they're like...
I don't think they're really happy.
They're happy as hell. They're usually, like, in really good ass shape.
Have you gotten to the zone, bro?
A high degree they usually have. Some sort of bachelor or master's.
Oh, yeah, master's. Look, I'm coming home the other day. It's Saturday. The British Open had just, or Sunday, the British Open had just gotten over, and I was like, well, I was motivated. I want to go hit some golf balls. So I went out. It was a horrible mistake because it was 1,000 degrees. But as I'm coming back, it's 3:30 in the afternoon. It's absolute peak heat and humidity. And as you're pulling into the neighborhood, you know what it's full of?
What?
People out there in yoga pants and wispy shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Walking and jogging and pushing their kids, and they got their kids on their, and they're everywhere. It's like a disease in my neighborhood.
Well,
I'm mad at them, and I'm mad at them for making me feel bad about myself as I drive chugging a cigar.
You were going to the gym for a while, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm a while back. My wife is back in training and stuff and trying to get me back in it. And to be honest with you, I took my blood pressure yesterday, and I probably got to make a life decision here soon. Probably got to make a life decision here soon, guys. Blood pressure, tiny bit elevated.
No. Gee, that's very shocking.
I can't imagine.
My
diet is so on point. But, so I got to make a life change here soon.
Yeah. Life changes. So much easier to eat bacon and be happy, you know?
And I gotta
tell
you,
that was the most disgruntled life changes.
I
got to get back into it, too.
And this is not a complaint. It's just a reality. You know?
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people get up early and go to work. But when you do get up early, and it's a weird start to your day when you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning. You know, my alarm goes off at 4:30. I don't get here until later, but it does go off, and I'm out of bed usually by then, into the shower, and then on in.
Mine's 3:50.
I got that, 100%. But with, you know, it's such a different lifestyle because by the time you get home, everybody's like, yeah, but you're off by 11 o'clock. Right. Well, by the time you do all the other stuff, you know, 12:30 or 1. And you have to understand that 1 o'clock is like 5 o'clock because you're up so early. You want to grab a nap. That it just puts you in this weird life cycle where it's hard. I mean, you get up after working all day, do you want to get home and then go to the gym and then do all that? Hell no, that's why I got a high blood pressure.
You should be happy, though. You see the light at the end of the tunnel. Coming soon, you won't be waking up at 4 anymore.
Your body's going to be totally shifted. Like, it's going to be, like, literally flip-flopped.
It's already weird now, guys, because on Thursday, when I get up on Thursday, I realize I don't have to go to work until 3 the next day.
Yeah.
And it is interesting, but, you know, getting off at 7 o'clock is a totally different machine, too, because I'm used to making dinner and having some. And now, when I get home on Friday nights, by the time I just unwind, it's like 8:30.
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I going to do now?
And then it's still light out. It is still light out at 8:30. That's another. I was finishing painting around the house. I'm like,
painting.
Not your painting where you paint lighthouses.
He's painting
lighthouses and hearts, huh?
You're taking my gig.
I'm not doing that. But painting actual interior.
All right, so you're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
When you're done rearranging the deck chairs.
I'm not holding it in. I'm going to be fine.
Of course you'll be fine.
407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041.
Real Radio 104.1.
From
Real Radio. Real Radio.
Voila. I'm only coming out to play. Nothing more that I hate in this life. The wrong impression.
All right, welcome to the Monsters Morning Show. Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Carlos, and Angel. Angel, so you've answered my my monkeys using hair dryers, which still makes me laugh. What did you answer it with?
All right, so I've got... there's a compilation video of the little baby goats hopping on stuff.
Okay, all right.
That'll just bring you overwhelming joy and warm any cold heart.
That makes me grin. It doesn't make me laugh. It makes me grin.
Death metal rooster just because.
Okay, now I got to see that. Now that might make me laugh. I haven't seen that one yet. Is it Monsters.fm?
Yeah, just go to Monsters.fm.
Britney Spears' dog made me smile.
what was a Britney Spears dog?
You didn't hear that, dude?
No.
Well, there's a dog out there that sounds exactly like Britney Spears.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me see this death metal. Is it a rooster?
It's a rooster.
Okay.
And then that was more of an audio. You got to hear what he's doing. And then if I could, I would have like 4 or 5 little teacup little pigs.
Why don't you do it?
I can't.
Why?
I don't have the place for that.
One day.
I thought you were moving soon, weren't you?
Yeah, I thought you were getting a new pad out in Atlanta.
Yeah.
ATL.
That doesn't mean I'm moving by myself.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, really?
Your boyfriend doesn't like him, does he?
So you're getting some roommates, just a couple of the guys.
A couple of the boys from college.
Yeah, Tony Two, Joey Cheese.
You guys stay in your rooms until time to play video games.
You know how it is when you're blending families.
Yeah. Oh, Vinny the Cards.
Is this the heavy metal rooster? I like that. Your goat video is making me grin too. It's making me grin. Not as much as the monkey hair dryer made me laugh. This makes me grin. They are cute, aren't they? Little goats.
Guys, we can save this for a group text.
Yeah.
We can literally do this on a group text.
What do you mean?
I would never text any of these things to you guys.
I text funny videos to my friends all the time.
Yeah,
like,
you do.
This ridiculous, stupid crap. Like I'm a big GIF guy. People underutilize the GIF.
Yes.
And it puts a smile on people's face.
Those make me smile. That'll do it.
GIF,
I'm very easy to entertain.
Me too, man. I would say I'm pretty easily entertained until I'm not.
Yeah, until I'm not. My wife loves all those animal videos. Any animal video, she's, they all make her laugh. No, but the rooster is pretty good. I like the heavy metal rooster. That's good. Hey, try to explain to me what I'm trying. I was trying to figure out what would be the reason for doing this, and I'm sure you guys will probably know right away. I couldn't think if I had a fake ID of a celebrity. If I had Johnny Damon's driver's license, okay, and what would I do with it? Okay, so there's a guy, he was arrested, and he didn't just have Johnny Damon's driver's license. He forged all of these, you know, he's arrested for fraud or whatever, 22 charges of identity fraud. He had Johnny Damon's driver's license. He had Howie Duroux, you know, the guy from Backstreet Boys.
It's all Central Florida people.
Yeah.
All Orlando, Central Florida people this guy got popped with.
Yeah, Randall Hart Thomas and John Brian Morgan, who are our lawyers at Morgan & Morgan.
Or the license.
Oh, good luck with that, dude. You're in trouble.
Did you read about this guy?
Fraud bot.
Well, I'm reading all these celebrities. He had Scott Skiles' driver's license.
Did he steal these, or he just made these IDs?
He made them.
He would get the information and whatnot and make these fake licenses, right?
Oh, this guy wanted to pay child support?
No.
What would you do with it? Like, if I had Johnny Damon, if I had Scott Skiles' driver's license, what the hell am I going
to
do with it?
This is purely amusing to him. This is part of the scam. So he gets that. He gets fake checks. He goes to retailers around, goes and buys something with this fake check, this fake ID, right?
Oh.
Then he goes, you know, walks out the store with it, runs, you know, drives around the block, go gets a burger, comes back, returns it for the cash.
But he doesn't look like Johnny Damon. He doesn't look like Scott Skiles. He doesn't
that
look
lets
like
you
Howie
know
Durrell.
What That's kind of idiot friend. Works at customer service.
But why would you use someone who's famous? I mean, that's a red flag. That's easy to
think. No, you're thinking it the wrong way. It's disarming. Oh my gosh, you got the same name as Johnny Damon. I'm like,
true.
Oh, you know what? I always kind of get that. It's always been kind of funny, blah, blah, blah. And then you're starting a regular conversation about an ID that's already fake. So the person's not going to take the longer with the fake idea or ID. They're going to talk to you.
So wait a minute. So the driver's license would not have a picture of Johnny Damon.
No, it was a picture of him.
It was his picture, but he would use their name.
As I hear you talk, Angel, I want you to be part of my team in this big heist I got. Because you got what it takes. You've answered the questions. Russ is throwing them out there, and you're boom. You're like, no, it's disarming.
Oh, I knew that. I knew one of you guys would know. Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Too much Casa de Papel.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Season 3, where are you?
Why would you want Scott Skiles' driver's license?
I don't know.
Of all the people in the world.
Jimmy, look at the list. It's because it's all Central Florida people.
There's a guy. Here's hysterical.
Does this guy just love paternity suits?
Scott Hooch, who's a professional golfer.
Scott Hoke.
Hoke, is that it?
Yeah, Hoke is famous for missing a 2.5-foot putt to win the Masters.
Oh. Jason,
I'm sorry, Scott. I know you're a good guy.
Damn. Jason Paul Taylor.
No idea who that is.
Professional football player.
Jason Paul Taylor.
I never heard of him.
Jason Taylor.
Oh, yeah, Jason Taylor, the Dolphins.
Oh. Jennifer Capriati. Why would he have her driver's license?
Just wanted to.
That lets you know this guy.
What
would
did he
go,
do
would,
with
I wanted
he
to beat Steven Dorff.
He would go return stuff, right? Get a couple $100, whatever. And he'd have he would have a woman's name, and they wouldn't even slow down.
That's
with
crazy.
People are saying, who is Johnny Damon? Johnny Damon, professional baseball player.
Yeah, very famous.
He's been in here before. He's a super nice guy.
Yeah, he's great.
He's probably the most fit. Well, Johnny Damon, Scott Skiles, and Howie Duroux are probably the most famous on this list. But he's got a big, long list of people. And he would fake their driver's license, and I just couldn't see what the benefit would be.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's a racket.
By the way, finally watched the movie Moneyball, which Johnny Damon has mentioned in a bunch of times.
Oh, really?
Great,
you've just watched Moneyball?
Just watched it. Just found time. Like, my wife won't watch movies like that with me, and I rarely watch movies by myself.
You should check out that other new Brad Pitt movie, Fight Club.
Yeah, it's great. I deserve that 100%. I'm not fighting back. I get it. 100%.
What'd you think of it?
What'd you think?
I loved it. It was great.
Awesome. Yeah,
that was insane. Yeah. It was really good.
It's every day now. It's it's just normal style of analytics.
They were talking about it on ESPN yesterday about how a guy who is the numbers guy sits down with a player and explains to him that he's not part of the lineup anymore because it doesn't meet the computer model. You know,
like,
it's
a
very interesting world of sports. But it worked. It was fun.
People in the texting service, you can text us at 77031, and we'll text you back sometime. People are saying, well, I don't even know who those people are. You're naming all these people.
Johnny Damon's a Hall of Fame baseball player for the Yankees and the Red Sox and for the Oakland A's, I think. Yep. And then you have Howie Duroux is part of the Backstreet Boys.
Right.
Out of here in Orlando.
They all have local connections.
Jason Taylor is a professional football player for Miami Dolphins. Is he still playing? I can't remember. I'm not a Dolphins guy.
He's moved into the
broadcast booth?
Yeah, broadcast and I thought front office.
Yeah, could have. And then he's beautiful, right? Like a really good-looking dude? Almost got you there. I can't think of the other guy.
Scott Skiles.
Scott Skiles. Charlie Brown. Everybody knows him. He's the guy famously who misses the football and lands on his back.
Right.
And has 11 kids.
Anyway, yeah, I couldn't figure out what
from
you
nine
would do.
Women.
So you're saying if you had you put your own face on there, but you put their name, their address, and then go buy something from like Target or whatever?
Yeah, any of the box stores, any of that, you know, you don't put your best and brightest in customer service. It's that way. It's been my experience. I'm not dissing anybody. That's just been my experience. And so they're not that vested when.
Yeah, whatever. Just give me.
Yeah, whatever. Just give me this. Yeah, that whatever. Scott's yeah, whatever. Okay, here you go. Here's your that's money. Great. Take your. You know.
Now all I keep thinking is that Angel said you can't meet all of my friends because there's some stuff you guys.
Obviously.
Are, yeah, but he knew this right like that.
I have to explain this because when we talked about that, everybody instantly went, "Oh, so your friends are narcotraficante? you're outing your drugs."
But don't downplay your pull because just last break you got me a Cuban pass. Passport.
your friends are drug dealers. It's like, no, not all of them are that. I have some friends.
Not all of them.
I have some friends that, let's say, they're grifters. They live their life that way.
So you can understand this 100%.
I probably am 4 people removed from a guy that probably does that hustle.
Why do I think you're going to introduce this to one of your friends, and it's going to be like a 4'2", 42-year-old Korean man smoking a cigarette, and he's like a heist guy. You know, he's like, you want to know about Angel? I'll tell you about Angel for 50 large.
It's a guy from Hangover.
Exactly. Me and Jimmy are like, yeah, you tell us. He'll be like, did I say 50? I meant 100. And then we give it to him. He's out the door.
Dude, I got a buddy of mine, Luisito, right? Now, Luisito, he moves in and out of the area, so I'm not too worried.
And I can't spell the name anyway.
Right, so he's
with an L?
He was a professional, like, squatter.
Okay. Oh,
like,
really?
But
that's funny.
The dude, I was always amazed because, like, we'd be at clubs or whatever, dressed nice, smelled great, you know what I'm saying? And getting, like, you know, running drinks and whatnot and everything, not a nickel to his name.
And not an address. Doesn't have an address.
But, yeah, but, like, would always show up, and I was just like,
where do you come from?
Yeah, like, how do you learn that hustle? And it's like, that's what I was taught. You know, those kind of traits are passed, you know, generation to generation.
I'll be damned. Hey, if you want to go to our website at monsters.fm, remember, up in a little bit later, you'll be able to go to our website at monsters.fm and see if your name is one of the Daily Five. If it is, then you can win. You'll win tickets to the Universal Studios day that we're going to have, the Monster Fan Appreciation Day. It's on August the 4th. You can join us out there, and we'll do a little trivia when we come back. And if you win trivia, you can win tickets to Universal Studios Orlando when we have our Monster Fan Appreciation Show on August the 4th. We're going to take over Real Radio on a Saturday morning, and you can do it with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. So get on the line. The telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Facebook and started talking to each other again. What's that? Nobody's quit Facebook? Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando.
Okay, listen, I've been telling people about this, and it's so. Good morning. The Triple R segment of 7 is brought to you by WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Brad Siebert and his staff are licensed lenders that can help you buy a home. If you just want to look at a home, you have to have a licensed lender that, you know, signs off that, hey, you have the money and the funds to look at a house. So you want to call them first. 407-636-9808. That's 407-636-9808 for WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Licensed lenders, it's like working with your buddy, not really like working with a bank. A bank has got a lot of rules. We close at 5. That's it. We don't work on the weekends. That's all. They don't do that. WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Brad Siebert can help you. And matter of fact, every single day you'll know what's going on with your loan. It's WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Get a loan even if your credit score is 580 or less. But if you've got great credit, he'll get you a great interest rate. It's WeAreNotTheBanks.com. They'll finance a mobile home if you need them to, or a big, beautiful mansion, whatever you want. 407-636-9808 for WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, Carlos, and now Angel's going to tell you what's going on in the prize pinata.
The prize pinata is brought to you by Cento Family Moving and Storage. It's a family-owned and operated company, and they offer both residential and commercial moving services for businesses all over the country. It's a fully trained expert moving crew, adept in packing, furniture handling, safe driving, and excellent customer service. Go to the website, centomoving.com, that's C-E-N-T-O-moving.com. You hit the start quote button. Let them know that you heard about it here on Real Radio 104.1 Monsters in the Morning, and there's a discount for you. That's centomoving.com to get the process started. Up first, we have a pair of tickets to see Orlando City take on NYCFC at Orlando City Stadium. That's July the 26th, which is tomorrow, a Thursday game. Tickets are on sale right now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more information.
They don't do very many Thursday games, do they?
They try not to. They like to do the Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday games. But the Thursday game is a different beast in and all of itself.
Yeah.
So what's neat about soccer is this, right? So the game starts at 8. Mm-hmm. One way or another, it's done by 10.
That's true.
You know, it's a finite amount of time.
Yeah, not a whole lot, not like timeout or anything like that.
Well, like, for example, with baseball, you can go, extra innings forever. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I guess football does end at some point. And I guess NBA does too. But maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
All right.
We also have a... Hold on. Come on, baby. A pair of tickets to Monster Jam Triple Threat Series at the Amway Center on August the 18th. Tickets are on sale right now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword events. Now, the Monster Jam Triple Threat Arena Tour is an entirely different format than Orlando fans have witnessed at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
This upcoming tour features 8 of the most talented Monster Jam drivers, and they're going to be competing in 3 different competitions. You got the Monster Jam Speedsters, you got the Monster Jam ATVs, and then you got the Monster Jam Trucks, and we're doing this all inside the Amway.
Right.
So it's going to be a very different experience altogether, and we're going to have some pretty cool things that go along with it as we get closer to the day of the event.
Now, are you visiting there this week?
I'm heading out there this Friday. I'll be heading out to their facility. To check out, the vehicles and some of the work and how they build some of the stuff and
Will you get to drive one of the monster trucks, you think?
We'll see.
That's what you want, right?
Yeah, ultimately, I would love to drive any of their vehicles. But in the past, that's always been the hang-up and concern with, quote-unquote, insurance.
Insurance. Yeah. Rules. Yeah.
And then we'll wrap it up with this. A pair of tickets to see us, the Monsters, Monster Fan Appreciation Day at Universal Orlando on Saturday, August the 4th. Prizes include 2 2-park, 2-day park-to-park Universal Orlando tickets valid for admission to Universal Studios and Universal Islands of Adventure theme parks, general parking pass, and a $25 Orlando gift card.
Yes.
It's fun for the whole family. Fast and Furious Supercharged is now open at Universal Orlando Resorts.
I loved it. I thought it was really cool.
It's look, if you are a fan of the film, or of the series of movies, there's a lot of stuff in the walk up to the ride
that's cool
that you're going to be very familiar with. You're going to be like, oh, wait a minute, that's the picnic table.
Right.
Oh, wait a minute, those are the cars. Oh, wait a minute. There's a lot of those kind of moments that happen, and it's pretty neat. So, Fast and Furious Supercharged is open, and those are the prizes on today's prize pinata.
And by the way, on that day at Universal Orlando, we're going to do its Monster Fan Appreciation Show. We're going to meet up with everybody around 10 o'clock, take photos with everyone, like right in front of the broadcast area, where the radio broadcast area, where we do that. And if you don't win tickets, now we're giving out 100 tickets thanks to Universal, but if you don't win tickets and you want to join us that day, you are welcome to join us for sure. We'll take a big photo together, then we're going to go ride a bunch of rides together, hit lunch at the Monster Cafe between 12 and 12:30 or so. And then after that, ride some more rides. I'm going to take a bunch of folks over to the Irish Bar at the end of the afternoon, and we're going to have a big Monster Fan Appreciation Show. And then Carlos and Savannah, I'll probably go with you guys, and Angel are going to go over to the makeup, what's it called, yeah, the Monster Makeup Show?
Yeah, the Horror Makeup Show, and have a good time over there. Hopefully get a bunch of people in there.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. So there you go. There's your prizes that you can win in a prize pinata. Let's see. Who do you want me to go to first, Angel?
Actually, it's wide open.
I'll go Quentin then. Yeah. Quentin from Titusville, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, buddy?
Great, sir. How are you?
I am great. Okay, since you're first, I'm going to allow you to pick the direction that we're going, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, so let's see here. Do you want to guess the worst or do you want to guess the best?
The best, of course.
You're going to go with the best. Okay, all right.
You wanted it.
All right, here we go. You say the best. Here's the direction. What movie came in number one as the best when it was asked, what is the best Tom Cruise movie of all time? He has 42 movies. His new movie, Mission Impossible, came in number 21. What do you think came in as the best Tom Cruise movie?
I'm going to go with Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder is, let's see, where was that one? Days of Thunder, not in the top 10, I think.
Well, then this list is a scam.
I'm just telling you. I don't even see it. That's not one of them. Who do you want to help you? You've got Dirty Jim, Angel, or Carlos.
I'm going to go with Dirty Jim.
Dirty Jim, what came in number one when they asked, what's the best Tom Cruise movie of all time?
This is actually a really interesting question because, you know, do you tell yourself, wow, what's the movie that made you fall in love with Tom Cruise, which is usually the one you remember the most?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Or what movie did you look at where it was his best acting performance where you're like, you really paid attention to him, and he had some really good ones.
Mm-hmm.
So is it Top Gun, A Few Good Men, maybe a dark horse like The Firm?
Oh, man, you're mentioning a bunch of great movies.
I mean, these are all good, man. I mean, Vanilla Sky. I mean, another really... Now, that's definitely not going to be it because it's a bit of a wacky movie, but an insanely good movie,
one
by
of
the
my
way.
My favorites of his.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I think Carlos actually saw that together.
You guys hold hands and eat popcorn?
We had light kisses.
Not that particular time.
Yeah.
He was mad at me.
That was Romeo Must Die when we saw that.
Yeah, we walked out.
Best Tom, according to this poll.
Best. You say best. God, that throws it in there. I'm going to go A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men. God, I would have agreed. That was number four on the list. That was number four. So at least you're on board there. Alex from Melbourne. You're on Rare Radio, 104.1. How you doing, Alex?
Oh, good morning, Rob.
Hey, buddy. What do you think came in number one when they asked 20,000 people the best Tom Cruise movie of all time?
Were these 20,000 Americans?
They were, yes, sir. Red-blooded Americans.
All right.
Did the other caller guess Top Gun? I'm not sure, but that's not my guess just yet. Did we hear that?
Oh, wait a minute. No!
You can't.
Sir!
You got to have doe eyes to get to me like that, sir.
All right, I'm going to go. Russ, my guess is going to be this. I'm going to go.
Dude, say the answer, because what?
Top Gun was number seven on the list.
Yeah.
Who do you want to help you? You've got Angel and you got Carlos.
Oh, Carlos, let's go.
Carlos, let's go.
Where we going?
All man, right. So many really
Top
good
Gun
movies.
Came this in seven?
You know,
this is one of the reasons this guy is such a massive star. I mean, his list of movies, every one of them fun to watch.
You know what? You're right. As I looked at the 42, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about that. Oh my God, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
So the number one movie, I think I know why it came in number one, but Carl, don't look at me that way.
He's not
literally looking at you.
He's got his hand on his chin.
No. He's not looking at you any particular way. He's noticing that you're raising the paper higher and higher and higher, and he's going to be able to read through it. That's what he's noticing.
I would never do that.
Right.
I would never do that, and you're calling my character into question.
Well, I know he can't read my chicken scratch handwriting.
Okay.
All right. What came in number one when asked, what's the best Tom Cruise movie of all time?
There's a big famous phrase from it, right? Oh, yeah, there is. It's Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire is incorrect. I'm so sorry. No. Jerry Maguire was number five on the list.
This list is a racket. How? Days of Thunder is not number one. Top Gun, number two. And Jerry Maguire, number three.
Yeah, Days of Thunder was not his best movie, and it's
whatever.
Not even close. May not even be in his best top 10.
Hold on.
Come on.
Jerry Maguire was number five. Top Gun was number seven on the list. Let's see here.
I can think of two right now that it could be that we haven't even named yet.
Oh, yeah.
Brian from Waterford Lake. You're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, boys. How are you?
Hey. Wonderful. Asked over 20,000 people. What came in number one for Tom Cruise's best movie?
Jimmy doesn't love Cold Trickle.
I don't.
The only reason I'm going with this, and I don't think it's number one, but it's got to be that. Born in the 4th of July.
That is the answer. Congratulations, sir.
That's a great guess, but it's such a BS guess.
He was nominated for that, see?
Yeah, but he was also
put you on hold.
Vanilla Sky, too, right, I thought?
No, I don't think he was. I know Cuba Gooding won for Jerry Maguire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, according to this poll, they said, over 20,000 people. Born on the 4th of July, which came out in 1989, is his best movie because he was nominated for an Oscar. And he played the wheelchair guy
and the Vietnam vet, I believe, right?
I don't even remember the movie.
I don't remember the entire thing either, but we have left out Color of Money.
That was number two on the list. Color of Money.
Rain Man.
Rain Man.
Well, let me give you the top 10, and then we can revisit all those. What do you think is considered Tom Cruise's worst movie? I'll tell you what that is when we come back. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Believe it or not, it's time to go back to school soon, and we're doing a monster back to school skate party to get you in the mood. Hosted by Carlos B.
Yo,
Angel will be there. I'm going to be there. Savannah, Ryan Holmes going to show up, and it's coming up on August the 10th. It's a Friday night. It's going to be at Astro Skate. And, you know, this is one of the very few times we're asking to bring your, you know, bring your entire family.
Yeah, man. The kids can come out. If you're a couple, you can come out. If you're single, you want to come out with friends. It's going to be a fun night. It'll get you back in the skating ring. Remember when you were in the skating ring?
Yeah.
Back in middle school, high school, no worries, no responsibilities. Just had to be home by, you know, a decent time.
And you got to bring, all you got to do is bring like, you know, bring like school supplies. And we're going to donate those to a gift for teaching. So that's coming up on August the 10th. It's a Friday night, and some skating.
And where you're back to, the theme is back to school, so where the school that you represent.
There you go.
You know?
So we were talking about the Tom Cruise movies for the trivia question, and the number one answer was considered his best movie, Born on the 4th of July, which, I mean, I would totally disagree with. I don't even remember that movie.
It was a big deal.
Yeah, I know, and I know he's nominated for an Oscar for it and all that, so that's probably why.
Well, yeah, the subject matter as well, you know?
Yeah. The Color of Money came in number two. Magnolia was number three.
Oh, Magnolia's great. Yeah. Magnolia's great. It's the one about the raining frogs and some others. That's the one, right?
Yeah, he plays a motivational speaker that's really sexist.
Okay.
Yeah, misogynist and narcissist.
Number four, I thought, personally, I would have put up as number one, A Few Good Men. Which I think is
But the problem with that movie is he's not real. He's only part of the star
ensemble.
Yeah, yeah. He's part of an ensemble cast. He's not the showcase actor in that movie. Although he kind of, Jack Nicholson is. Demi Moore is a giant part of that.
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon's a giant part of that. I mean, that's a giant cast. So, you know, he's part of a cast that made that movie great. I think any one of those get taken out of that movie and it suffers.
Huh. All right. Jerry Maguire came in fifth place.
That's
a great movie.
Yeah, incredible movie. I mean, set the standard for, I think, could have started the idea of Entourage and movies like that, you know, but kind of showed you what an agent looks like before you kind of knew what it was. I wanted to ask real quick before you go farther. Did you see Color of Money?
Long time ago. Yeah. Long time ago.
It's a really incredibly good movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time, but...
And you know, what you're saying is, if you look at all these, they've got iconic people with them. I mean, The Color of Money. Paul Newman. You know, Born on the 4th of July.
That was his piece.
I can't think of who. Was there another celebrity in it?
I mean, I'm sure there were. I mean, you know, when you have pictures with him in there, it draws a lot of attention because, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be very successful, so people want to be part of it. But I do not remember the cast of that movie.
So in Magnolia, was there another big star?
Oh, yeah, that was also an ensemble.
Okay. A Few Good Men, obviously Jack Nicholson. And, like you said, Demi Moore. Yeah. Jerry Maguire, Cuba Gooding Jr. won the Oscar for that.
Yeah, but he wasn't a superstar yet.
No, he wasn't. Rain Man, I mean, in Rain Man, it's Dustin Hoffman.
Won an Oscar for that part.
Yeah, and that
girl, I think, the woman in that movie, also won an Academy Award, did she not?
God, I can't remember who was in that.
What's her face? my memory.
In Rain Man?
Who was
somebody recognized.
His girlfriend in that movie. Oh, come on, man. Utes.
Oh!
Marissa Tomei? No, not Marissa
Tomei. Yeah, Marissa Tomei.
The chick you're thinking of who played Susanna was Valerie Golino.
Oh, I don't know.
I thought she did something else as well. I thought she was in
You've seen her in other films.
Yeah, anyway, my apologies.
She was in, like, Hot Shots.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I remember her. Yeah.
Number seven for the best Tom Cruise movie is Top Gun. We talked about that earlier.
Never seen it.
You're kidding me?
No, I've never seen Top Gun.
I thought you were joking.
No, I'm dead serious. It'd be a joke to watch now.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
I disagree totally.
I couldn't disagree more.
It made
him a heartthrob. That's the movie that made him a heartthrob.
It's got Val Kilmer,
not
man.
To me, Cocktail made him a heartthrob to me.
Oh,
Cocktail
man.
Was a joke compared to that movie.
Cocktail rules supreme. It made me want to be a bartender.
Oh, man. You got to watch Top Gun.
Kelly McGillis, Anthony Edwards, Kilmer.
Irish dude from FX, other Irish cool people.
Yeah,
making
right.
Boning in a waterfall.
Terrible movie. Elizabeth Shue, though.
Elizabeth Shue, the little scene. With the thing at the end of the shoelaces.
Don't
so,
say that.
Coming in number eight for the best Tom Cruise movies, and I don't know, Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, badass movie.
It is a good movie.
Yeah. That's one of his newest ones that he plays a future
Well, he plays
Isn't he replaying the day?
Exactly.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad.
Oh, man. You didn't even see it?
It's all right.
It's fantastic.
It's like a video game. Basically, yeah. It's a live video game.
With Emma, the other chick from Girl on the Train, I think.
Okay.
Emily Blunt.
Yeah, Emily Blunt. I always call her Emma.
I don't remember thinking it was that.
I thought it was fantastic. That's one of my favorite sci-fi movies.
Number 9 on this list, Interview with the Grandpa.
With a Grandpa.
And then you point at me.
No, I talked to Jimmy.
What a dick. Interview. Wonder.
We talked about this at the coffee machine. Interview with a Vampire.
Hello. Yeah. Hi, I'm Interview with a Grandpa. I would like Nana Pudding.
No, we talked about this.
I want to suck your tapioca.
I love Trump. He's great.
But who else is in Interview with a Vampire? You said
Brad Pitt.
Is Brad Pitt in it?
Mm, yep. A young Kristen Dunst.
That's right.
And she says, "More blood, please," or whatever the hell.
Yeah. She's a baby in that movie.
Yeah.
You
know they hated each other, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise?
Really?
They still don't get along. They've never worked on anything else since then.
Who do you think the dick was?
Oh, Cruise.
Tom Cruise?
No.
Dude, come on. Brad Pitt
he was on set, that's what caused the friction between. Look, they've never worked together. You've never seen a photograph with them together after that.
And let's face it, in the media, who's looked like the weirdo over the years?
Tom Cruise.
It's definitely not Brad Pitt, dude.
Oh, please. Brad Pitt has adopted 47 kids. He talks about his past, about drinking and craziness, but Tom Cruise had the whole Scientology thing, which is tough to get
right. Yeah.
Who's the quiet hero from Vampire? Did we always forget that he was in that?
I'm an FBI agent.
He ruined that movie with Gary. That was one of the best vampire performances of all time. That's Gary Oldman.
I know.
Was Dracula in that movie? But Keanu Reeves genuinely turned in one of the worst acting performances in a big budget picture ever. It is it's laughable bad.
That's why I like it. I laugh.
When it's so
Christian
bad.
Slater. Slater's in there.
Number 10 for the best Tom Cruise movies. It was the first Mission Impossible. Came in. Oh, yeah. Now, what do you think? This is interesting to see the bad Tom Cruise movies. What do you think came in as the worst Tom Cruise movie ever?
Cocktail.
Cocktail is not even in the five.
You need to watch that movie again.
Cocktail was great.
Cocktail was not good. It was a joke.
When he does the limericks. And
The limericks and the way that the Irish dude dies at the end and how he picks up chicks.
Spoiler.
Like, yeah. No idea how awesome that movie is.
And Elizabeth Shue's in it. She's hot. All right, no, it's not. It's not that one. Angel, you take a guess. What do you think came in the worst Tom Cruise movie?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. There's one that you and I fight about all the time.
Oh, really? The Mummy?
It's not the worst. It came in number 39, so it is not the worst Tom Cruise movie ever.
Is it Valkyrie?
Valkyrie not as the top worst.
Last Samurai.
See, this is how this list is a sham. Days of Thunder's not number one, and Mummy's not 50th.
There's 42.
42 movies.
There are two movies they say that are worse than, three that are worse than The Mummy.
Oh, Night and Day.
Night and Day, not in the top 10 for
remember
worst.
That one with Cameron Diaz?
I kind of like that one. I didn't think it was bad.
Oh, yeah. It was like a little fun
a little action picture, right? Eyes Wide Shut?
Eyes Wide Shut? Nope, not for one of the worst. Uh-uh.
And this is one that...
It was one, and I saw it, and I liked it.
That doesn't mean anything, dude. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so you like The Mummy.
I did like The Mummy.
Risky Business has never been mentioned.
I know.
Risky Business is awesome.
It's in the middle somewhere. I'll give you the top 10 of the worst movies, just so you know. Okay, so number 33, Far and Away, they say is one of the worst.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
God, how do you say that? That was not that bad at all.
Number 34, Lions for Lambs.
Never heard of it.
It was like a political thing movie. Number 35, Oblivion.
Oh, that's a recent one.
Yeah,
that's the one where we went to the planet and
He's like a repair guy for satellites or drones or something.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was cool. We went to like Yankee Stadium and a couple places that were...
Number 36, it came out in 2012, Jack Reacher.
Reacher was actually not that bad at all. It's like one of his like Denzel, The Equalizer kind of movies where it's like a revenge movie. He's a badass.
It's a whole book series.
Exactly.
Wait, you're going to give him a pass on Jack Reacher, but you're going to bust Keanu's balls for doing the same movie?
Pause. Yes.
I just making sure. That's all.
Okay, number 37 is Mission Impossible number 2.
The whole laser scene.
I thought that was a good one.
That was like iconic.
Number 38, a movie that came out in 1983 called Losing It.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that is.
It'd be like saying Outsiders.
Then number 39, I do not think is that bad of a movie, and I think Angel really tainted America with this.
No, I did not. The Mummy sucks.
The Mummy was good.
Mummy's
good.
A big turd.
Yeah, it's terrible, dude.
It was a horrible movie.
I liked it. Number 40, Jack Reacher, Never Go Back.
Yeah, that just got released, I believe, like in the last 8 months or so, didn't it?
Number 41 is for the worst Tom Cruise movies. I didn't even remember he was in this. Number 41, Endless Love, that came out in 1981.
Stop.
Who was it? I don't even remember that movie.
Brooke Shields and the other dude, the blonde guy, wound up doing nothing. But I don't remember him.
I didn't remember Tom Cruise. And for the worst Tom Cruise movie of all time.
I'm thinking of Blue Lagoon. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Worst Tom Cruise movie of all time. And it came out in 2012. And it's the only one I can think of that he did that was a musical.
Oh, it's a rock.
Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
I didn't see it.
I never can't saw tell it you. I never. Yeah, so that lets you know right there. Out of us, there's only one dude that saw this movie.
It wasn't that bad. And they made a Broadway play out of it.
God, man, you know, after kind of.
Or they Broadway play for
looking back on that list, I mean.
What's missing?
Well, I mean, not even that. I mean. What star has a better? I mean, you seriously
pound
look at
for
that.
Pound,
for pound. I mean, even guys like Harrison Ford and Tom Hanks. I mean, you honestly have to put a Tom Hanks or maybe even a My Left Foot guy. What's his name?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, and up against that list because every one of these movies, with the exception of like 5 out of 40, are watchable every Friday night.
Well, we missed a bunch of them because we didn't, like you said,
Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder.
I think Will
I'm dropping the hammer.
Will Smith is up there. Will Smith, pound for pound. Like, he's only had about 2 or 3 stinkers in the past, maybe 3 or 4 years.
And we didn't even put in that unbelievable cameo in Tropic Thunder that got so much news.
Yeah.
And then somebody texts in this, and this is an interesting question. Because I think a lot of actors will do something like this, but has Tom Cruise ever done anything that even resembles a Western?
No. Mm. Well, Far and Away.
Far and Away, yeah.
Is that a Western?
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. They're Irish people that came to the Wild West.
It's
not a cowboy movie, but it is a Western-ish type movie.
Sure. Yeah, I think in America, when you think Western, you have to think either it has to be like a John Wayne or Clint Eastwood movie.
But
it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, but Cruise can't wear a cowboy hat. You've seen that head?
He can do it. He can do anything.
There's a reason why he's avoided him.
American Made, he had a little a twang to his voice and sounded pretty good.
That was a good little movie.
Well, remember, he did War of the Worlds? That was pretty good.
That was great.
Is there a reason
that
why
was a
he's
good movie?
Is there a reason, and this might let you know how bad or how you know this movie stunk so bad?
What?
He's not listed on the cast of Rock of Ages.
Oh, he's the star.
He's the star of the
show. He's the rock.
I'm looking at it right now. And
oh, it's got to have him. He's the main rock star in Rock of Ages.
It's got Juliana Hogue, Matthew Rush Sullivan, Diego. Russell Brand, Alec Baldwin.
Oh, how's that go bad?
Tom Cruise is the star.
Okay, I'm just saying, it's weird. I'm on IMDb, and he's not listed under the full cast and crew of Rock of Ages that was released in 2012.
Juliana Huff and Russell Brand. What could go wrong?
I liked it.
But so let's think about this now. I mean, so you look back in the day of Hollywood, you're like, well, you're Cary Grant, Humphrey Bogart, then you go into your John Wayne years, and Paul Newman and De Niro years, and even those guys. So I think Tom Cruise has to be the biggest modern movie star that we have over the last like 40 years. I mean, he has to be, right? Bigger than Tom Hanks.
And that vein that you're describing, I think so. Yeah.
There's more mystery around him than any other star at that level because he doesn't really do the social media thing. He doesn't do interviews unless he's promoting a movie.
What about John Travolta?
You never see his wife out there talking about being a swinger or anything like that. You don't see him out there trying to produce other movies. He just is a movie star. He lives his life. He's kind of prince-ish in the way that he doesn't let you into his personal life. The one glimpse we saw came back on him. I mean, because we saw that Scientology glimpse of his ass, and everybody's like, what?
That's what I was saying, man. Tom Cruise is a movie star. John Travolta,
what about John Travolta?
He just released Gotti, and it tanked. And when Tom Cruise releases movies, it's still a big deal.
But man,
he fought back from really losing a lot.
John Travolta had, a list of...
Yeah,
but not like that.
But his personal, and look, he's supposed to be super nice, but his personal business has been put on real blast. More so than
massage guys and stuff like that.
And Tom's just picked better films.
Yeah.
overall.
I mean, he is, I believe, he's the biggest modern movie star, bankable movie star. And even to this day, after being in the game for 40 years or 35 years, the guy still, when he makes a picture, like this Mission Impossible thing, is supposed to be one of the best of the entire series. And think about that.
That would be the question to ask him. If you got a chance to sit down with Cruise, that would be the conversation I'd want to have. It's like, listen, here are the movies that you've done. How did you train? How did you navigate this? What made you go from The Color of Money to Cocktail? Like The Color of Money, you just worked with Paul Newman.
You're
just doing. Now you're gonna do a little a rom com kind of thing with Cocktail.
Not only just with Paul Newman. Paul Newman as a billiards hustler. Yeah, and the world of billiards was the 70s and 60s, and that guy made a relevant movie in the late 80s or early 90s about that genre, and then went right into a movie about mixing drinks.
Was Tom Cruise considered the villain in Rain Man? I'm trying to think of where he's ever.
No, he was the villain in Tropic Thunder.
He was?
He's the hitman in the movie with Jamie Foxx.
But Collateral.
That was one of the first times that you really saw him as a bad guy was Collateral.
We didn't even mention Collateral.
That is an awesome movie.
And even in the context of being the hitman, I loved it. I wanted him to kill everybody. Yeah. I didn't want him to have one bad shot.
The reason this is even a topic today is because this weekend the movie, the new Mission Impossible comes out, and he was severely injured in this particular one. He does all of his own stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
they used it in the trailer.
And I saw a bunch of interviews with people that work with him. Said, this guy, he demands on doing his own stunts. He's the only actor that's ever gone. I guess he did some sort of a free fall where they had to put oxygen on him when he jumped out of an airplane and they filmed him. It was actually him doing it.
He's done this before where on the Mission Impossible, dangled him outside of a plane and he's like slamming up against the side of the plane. And that's him.
Yeah.
Real quick, texting service checking in. I know we got to go.
Yeah.
But they're saying, isn't it ironic that this is the guy who got into an argument with Matt Lauer and called Matt Lauer glib, and everybody jumped down Tom Cruise's throat, fast forward.
Right.
Kind of crazy. And no sexual harassment charges anywhere.
I was just about to say
that. That's a good point, All right.
And we didn't even mention Minority Report.
Oh, my God, you're right. Yeah. You're listening to The Match of the Morning.
Orlando City plays host to New York FC tomorrow. Coverage begins at 7:30 p.m. on our sister station, FM 96.9 The Game, AM 740, and iHeartRadio. From the Radio. Radio.
Hey, when you go to our website now on monsters.fm. By the way, welcome back to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins on Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. When you go to monsters.fm, you can still vote for the favorite villain actor. Who is the greatest villain actor of all time? And it's down to just a couple of guys. And there's one race that is really, really hot. Now, the race of Anthony Hopkins taking on Robert De Niro isn't even close. Anthony Hopkins is running away with that hands down. He's killing that.
It's a joke,
It's still only one vote away between Alan Rickman and Jack Nicholson.
Wow.
That one's really, really, really close. And I just went back through to see some of Jack Nicholson's films. And boy, I tell you what, when you go back through, he doesn't have a career like Tom Cruise. You know, and he's considered one of our great actors. You know, but he's got a handful of good movies, and he's the villain in most of them. You know, like.
The
Shining and A Few Good Men.
Witches of Eastwick. He was basically the devil there. I can't remember. Was he a bad guy in Chinatown? I don't think he was. Going back to the Tom Cruise thing, because on the texting service during the break, we got a little heat for it. That's 77031. Just save that as Real Radio Text All the Shows. And they're saying you can't compare Tom Hanks' career to Tom Cruise's career. And the reason why I immediately disagreed with it and then kind of rethought, well, look at the magnitude of the collection of films. Like, Tom Cruise has a bunch of movies that are good, a couple that are great.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at Tom Hanks' career, you seem to have a lot of really great movies. Not so much good movies. I mean, for every Joe versus the Volcano, there's Saving Private Ryan. You know, or something like that. Or, you know, Forrest Gump or
Money Pit.
Money
Pit is a classic. Yeah,
it is a classic movie. One of the funniest scenes in history is in that movie. But, you know, for every one of those movies, there's one of those also those classic movies, like the one where he was shipwrecked or fell out of the airplane. What was that one?
Oh, yeah. Wilson. The
yeah,
ball.
yeah.
Castaway.
Castaway. Yeah, Castaway. Yeah. You know, for everyone, and you know, where he's the primary focus, the entire movie is him.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire movie is him surviving, and it, and they pulled it off.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of movies this guy has where they're like giant pictures where you're like, wow, you remember a lot of that. But Tom has a lot of movies where like, yeah, yeah, it was fun to watch.
The Departed, that was Tom Cruise.
That was Nicholson.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the bad guy from Nicholson. That's one we forgot a minute ago. He was the Irish mob boss or whatever.
Gotcha. So,
not really Irish.
Yeah, so it's Jack Nicholson against Alan Rickman. Of course, Alan Rickman, you know, you're never going to forget him from Die Hard. I mean, that was his, you know.
Yeah, Hans Gruber did.
And then he was in all of the Harry Potter movies, but was he really a villain?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's Snape, wasn't he? Or one of those, real bad guy?
Okay.
He was the head of the House of Slytherin, was he not?
Oh, man, it's killing Harry Potter fans right now. Yeah, I don't know. I know he was a bad guy.
He was a bad guy? Okay. Well, is there still one vote away, Carlos, with Jack Nicholson and Alan Rickman, but the other side, Anthony Hopkins is just killing Robert De Niro.
And the other thing that we didn't mention about Tom Cruise that really kind of, he never was in a Western, right?
Right.
But he never has controversy, you know? But Tom Hanks doesn't have controversy.
Oh, no.
But has Tom Cruise ever been featured voice in an animated picture?
Yes.
What was it?
Is it
Toy Story big?
No. He's never done it that level. But I know he's done at least one, and I can't remember it right now.
Isn't that weird that a guy at that level, considering the magnitude of those movies now, he's never lent his voice to an animated picture like that?
Think about it. His voice would be really hard to...
He doesn't have anything.
His voice would really be hard to, Jimmy, to impersonate. Like, if you're an impersonator, you could probably do a Tom Hanks impersonation.
Yeah, but a lot of times they don't even care about the person's voice. They just want to promote with their name.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Cruise is so-and-so from Disney.
Yeah.
You know, no different than they do with the other stars.
Totally. Yeah, yeah. I thought he did an older kind of 2D animation, but no, I think you're right. No, he hasn't. He has not. That is very odd in this day and age.
And then don't forget.
Leo DiCaprio, I don't think either has.
No, but DiCaprio is a different machine. He would be your modern day Nicholson, I believe.
Yeah, I think I thought because of, what's the puppet movie? Team America. He didn't do anything in that, right? Am I confusing Team America and Tropic Thunder?
Yeah.
You're blending those. And just to go out on this branch here, you know, Cruise isn't the only over 50 dude that's doing stunts. Right now, there's a story going out, and Keanu Reeves at 53 is doing an epic stunt for John Wick 3.
Would you
and
please
so
stop?
He's out there doing the stunt game in Hollywood
just as much.
Can I get you to stop?
No.
Is there any way? Get off this Keanu thing. He's terrible, man. Keanu's
the man.
He's a bad actor.
He's an awesome actor. And Jimmy, you need to watch an interview with him. He's a cool guy, man.
I didn't say he wasn't a cool guy. It's got nothing to do with him being cool, Russ.
I say we have an act-off. Keanu versus Jimmy. What goes down?
Okay, Keanu Reeves.
Shakespeare.
Jimmy and Keanu between two firms.
Well, anybody could do Shakespeare.
Okay, so if you got Keanu Reeves, what actor would you put on, is on the same level as Keanu Reeves?
Tom Cruise.
That monkey from the hairdryer video.
The monkey from the hairdryer video. No, Keanu Reeves is probably a click below Cruise.
I would say Nicolas Cage, but actually,
he's above Nicolas Cage.
You think he's above Nicolas
Cage?
Keanu
Reeves, yes.
Keanu Reeves is an A-list movie star. Nicolas Cage has dropped
five movies.
We're not talking about that. None of that's what we're talking about. We're talking about being a better actor. Nicolas Cage has an Oscar, guys. Okay,
yeah,
Nicolas Cage has an Oscar. And
Keanu Reeves was in all those movies. What are they called?
Keanu was Neo.
Matrix movies.
Yeah, he was Neo.
Again,
he was Neo.
Do you really need to be a high chops actor to pull off Neo?
Yes.
We're not talking about. Do you need to be a high chops actor to pull off Leaving Las Vegas?
Will Smith turned it down.
It doesn't matter who turned it down. That's not our conversation.
And let's say you know the quality of an actor they were going for. If you think Will Smith is a good actor, that's who had the option first. He turned it down. Keanu took it.
For some reason, I mean, Jimmy's making very good points with that as far as he was nominated for an Oscar, Nick Cage. For some reason, I think of Keanu Reeves as being a couple clicks above him, I think because he's had more successful films. But I like Nick Cage, but I think Keanu's...
And I don't think Nicolas Cage even... Did he even win for Leaving Las Vegas, or was it that other movie, Adaptation?
I think he won
for Adaptation. Another Oscar-nominated movie.
Yeah.
That's two now.
You know,
we're not even bringing in Raising Arizona or some of the other stuff he's done. Man, Keanu's not even close to him.
Well, you can't compare the way that Keanu embodies Shane Falco in The Replacements as a quarterback crossing the line and going up against, just all that entity that is the NFL.
Yeah, I love
that
you,
is
buddy.
Iconic.
I love you, man. I wish you were my attorney. Because you're arguing, you're fighting, but I don't know how much of a fight it really is.
I like them both. I don't know who I like better. I'm trying to think.
Well,
dude, if you want acting chops from Keanu Reeves, you got to see him in Feeling Minnesota. The angst that he portrays in Feeling Minnesota.
I didn't even see that.
He didn't.
I think I'm the only one.
Yeah.
What's my favorite Keanu Reeves movie?
Johnny Mnemonic.
People are saying, let's ask me who the better person is. Keanu Reeves, not even close. A matter of fact, probably a better person than most people in Hollywood. I mean, you read that guy's life story. He's had a lot of adversity in his life, but yet he still maintains to be a good person and takes care of his cast.
Can you remember
takes
him?
Care of the crew.
In Parenthood as Todd?
Yeah. He was wonderful.
he was an idiot.
He was wonderful.
No one could do an idiot like him.
As boyfriend of daughter.
We want to know what you think. We're going to open up the phones at 8. It's open phones at 8 o'clock.
Nobody dates Martha Plimpton like him.
We'll take your calls. Remember, be quick and to the point when you give us a call. The telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041, or locally it's 407-916-1041. Anything you want. If you want to talk about what we're talking about, that's fine. If you want to ask us something else, we'll do that. So we'll open up the phones at 8 o'clock. Take your phone calls. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
Now that we've all quit Facebook and started talking to each other again, you want me to sign a petition?
It's a serious problem.
To bring back Snickerdoodle Coffee Creamer.
Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando.
From Real Radio. Real Radio. 104.1.
It is 8 o'clock. You are listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio, and we'll also be live on our YouTube channel. So if you go to monsters.fm, click through to our YouTube channel, or if you just go straight to YouTube and subscribe to us or save it, iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube, and we'll be live here for the next hour or so, so you can check it out. What's up, guys? I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. And at 8 o'clock, we've been opening up the phones at 8 o'clock to talk to you, so you can chat with us about whatever you want. If you got a question, if you want to comment on something that we were talking about earlier, if you want to bring something else up, this will be the time to do it. And the telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041, or locally, it's 407-916-1041. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Let's see here. Who do we have on the line? We got Mitch. You're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Mitch?
I'm great. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, man. Are you on your way to work, or are you already there?
I am on my way. I'm almost getting on I-4, but...
Good luck.
I know. Angel, I agree with you 96% of the time, but I got to agree with Jimmy on this. Keanu kind of stinks.
Oh,
I mean, you could take almost any actor, except for like Michael Cera or maybe Carrot Top, and put him in John Wick, and they would do fine.
No, that's
not true, because if that was even remotely true, they would have done that, and they wouldn't have had to pay Keanu Reeves the amount of money they did. But Keanu Reeves sells the movie. He's an excellent at jujitsu. He studies this.
That's true.
And acting is also selling the part of this elite hitman killer, that the gun work that he put into it is part of the acting. This physical stuff is part of the acting.
Help sell me on this, because I want to be on your side with this, Angel, but I'm trying to, when I go movie for movie, I keep coming up with Nick Cage movies that are great and not that many Keanu Reeves movies. So help me with the Keanu Reeves movie so I can be on your side.
Point Break.
Okay.
Matrix.
Matrix. Speed.
Speed's a good movie.
Yeah. That's a bomb.
Speed, the first Speed was great.
Yeah, first Speed was great. But other than that, I can't think of many. I mean, I do like Keanu Reeves, and I thought he was pretty good in The Vampire.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, yeah,
Dangerous Liaisons.
Okay.
He was in Paula Abdul's Rush Rush video.
Now you're reaching, Angel. I'll be honest with you.
And again, I'm not saying that he's not an enjoyable actor. That's not the point. But I mean, when it comes to holding up against actors, A-level actors, I just think he would be bottom of the barrel.
I Walk in the Clouds? Did not touch you?
No, that was pretty good. I'll give you that. I like Walk in the Clouds. Hey, Adam, you're on Real Radio 104.1.
How's it going?
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Not much. I think Keanu Reeves is a way better human being, number one.
Yeah, he is.
Two, watch the video on him running three-gun competitions. That man's a beast.
Yeah, that's actually nothing to do with any
of that.
That's what I posted that for these guys last year when that came out. It's pretty cool. One of his really good acting roles in recent time. What? Have you ever watched Constantine? That's his foray yes. into the comic book world.
Oh, wait a minute. We're forgetting the... Okay, now I'm totally team Keanu Reeves because of the one he did with the Taste But Don't Touch.
No, Devil's Advocate.
Devil's Advocate. Yeah. Full on, Keanu.
Scanner Darkly's awesome. Street Kings. He did Street Kings as a detective in that. That was killer.
Keanu Reeves.
That's Keanu. Want to talk to Jimmy?
He wants to talk to Jimmy. Keanu.
Hey, Jimmy. This is Keanu. I just wanted to tell you and remind you that I was an FBI agent, okay? And I also know Kung Fu, so if you're down for an act off, you call me anytime, anywhere, bro.
Damn, he busted.
That's pretty good. That's not too bad.
Hey, that'd be like saying, hey, man, I want to let you know something. I bake the best cookies in Orlando, and if you're ever down for a firefighter competition, I'm in.
407-916-4041.
Literally has one has nothing to do with the other.
I'm not so blinded not to know that he's done his stinker or two. Like, I'm sure I'm the only person that went and saw 47 Ronin.
I don't even know what that is. 47 Ronin. Oh, that was on the train movie. Well, that wasn't a train?
No, that's the Ronin, the
you know,
samurai.
Snowpiercer?
Oh.
He wasn't. Was he a Snowpiercer?
No.
No, he was not. That was Chris Evans.
Hey, Natalie, you're on Real Radio 104.1.
Okay, I have a question for Angel and all of you.
Yeah.
Do you think part of the problem with the Magic is everybody who comes and all these players now are so worried about their brand that they don't want to be on a team? If you come to a team, instead of like rising the team up and making it better, the first thing they want is out of here because it's ruining their brand. So they're more worried about that than actually playing on a team.
It's a business, right?
Yeah, I will tell you this, and this is kind of the neat thing about the NBA, Natalie. Out of the professional sports, the NBA does allow or does really want these guys to self-promote. Allows them to do that. We've talked about this, that you can actually see the NBA players. You see their faces. Their faces aren't covered up by helmets and everything. So there's that element to it, and as the NBA goes, they're more socially media savvy. But I don't know if that's – like, I think the reason the Magic are in the spot that they're in is because of the sins of other managers, like, you know, our general manager. You know, we're still paying for those things. And so it's hard to get the right talent here right now. I think we're on a good foot right now, though. I'll say that.
I hope we are. And I saw 47 running. I love Keanu Reeves. Just
All right, Adam.
Thank you. 407-916-1041 or toll free. It's 1-888-978-1041. Are you still feeling good about the Magic, Carlos?
Yeah, I mean, as good as you can feel pre-season. I mean, they did pretty well in the summer league, but like I said, man, I'm always excited about them.
Yeah, sure.
But, yeah, it looks like this new management's got some different ideas and coaching, and Aaron Gordon's on board. So, yeah, why not?
Look, they believe in this so much. I mean, they've switched up everything. The broadcast package is now completely different. We have that here in Orlando, I mean, at iHeart now.
Yeah, which
is a big, big deal. They wanted to be on FM, so now the pregame and halftime and postgame show are handled by our buddy Brendan Kravitz.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Which is an unbelievable experience for him. But you know they've done everything. They've changed the way the Magic sound. Now they have players that are kind of creating some excitement in the
team.
I can't wait for the season to start. I can't tell you the last time I said that.
I agree 100%.
Think about the intangibles that we're talking about. Right, a year ago or 2 years ago in the era of Hennigan in there.
Yeah,
that wasn't afforded.
Uh-uh.
They were very closed off to, you know, the media here in Central Florida.
Right.
We all have our own stories of what happened or what we would try to do. And when you have a culture shift, and that's what this is with these new guys in place with our new, you know, president of player personnel and those kind of things and the way that they're drafting the philosophy, that is a culture shift. They're trying to get a different type of mentality here. And it does take some time for that stuff to grow, but we're seeing the fruits of that already.
I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good season. And since they are with iHeart now, chances of getting some players in here to interview are you know, higher percentage chance, right?
About damn time.
That'd be great. Hey, you're on with the Monsters. Who's this?
Hey, it's Keanu calling back.
Oh, geez. Get out of here, Keanu.
That's what happens when you don't let me screen him.
Sorry.
He still had a couple more jokes left.
You think so?
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Been there 100 times.
Yeah, you know, that's just the way it is. Yeah, I was talking to Mike Bianchi this morning, who's a sports guy, and he seemed to be excited about the Magic this season. I mean, you know,
well, the East is anybody's game.
Yeah,
truly. I mean, it's just all been decimated by big players leaving and going to the West, and then LeBron's in the West, so. I think it could be anybody against. And to the girl who called about it, players leaving, Aaron Gordon just stayed. He could have absolutely left, maybe taking a little bit less money. So it's not about image or brand. It's about winning to a lot of these guys. And if the Magic win, they don't care if it's Oklahoma City or Orlando or Brooklyn or whatever, as long as they're winning players like that.
Hey, Heath, you're on Real Radio, 104.1. How you doing, Heath?
Pretty good. Just heading home from work. Y'all got off topic a little bit with the Magic conversation. But I wanted to throw Brad Pitt into the race of actors. There are not many bad Brad Pitt movies.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Pound for pound, yeah, pretty damn good.
If you put Brad Pitt up against Tom Cruise, who do you think has better
I gotta go
list?
Brad. Ooh. Well, as far as acting wise,
yeah,
kind of got to go Brad Pitt.
Oh, you think?
Because there's just a couple roles there, like the Fight Club role and a couple.
Like
different
for example,
things.
Do you guys have a movie? Everybody, do you guys have a movie that at least once or twice a month you watch? Like
Scarface.
So Scarface for you, right?
Yeah.
All right. So Fight Club is that movie for me.
Yeah.
And I've watched Fight Club once or twice a month from the moment it became available.
I'm obsessive, but I don't think I have any movie I watch once or twice a month.
I have when it first came to DVD and it came in that cool little box kind of thing that folds out and everything. I still have that, and I watch it off of that set.
You ever read his books, Chuck Palahniuk?
Palahniuk?
Yeah, I have
read them.
It's Choke is a good one.
Yeah, they made that into a movie.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about Pitt is, Tom Cruise has never had a movie released straight to Netflix, and Brad Pitt has.
Yeah, that was one of the first ones to. He's really, Brad Pitt and Will Smith are the ones who are the biggest ones so far that I've seen. They've done that.
Hey, but do massive movie stars do that?
Absolutely.
I think you do now.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's the old way of thinking is just releasing them in theater.
And Russ, we got 2 phone calls and 19 Keanus that want to call in now.
I know.
Let them go.
Hey, Kim, you're on Real Radio, 104.1.
Everybody deserves it.
Hey. You guys were talking about the hot dogs the other day. Did anybody mention the hot dog toaster?
Oh, I love that thing.
Am I on SkyMall? Are you kidding? It's the greatest thing ever.
I don't have one, but I want one.
Oh, they work. They're really cool. It's got a little slot where you put the 2 hot dogs, and then you put the buns on the side of it, and you toast it down.
Not bad at all.
All it's got a little thing to catch all the grease.
Yeah.
Can you drink
it's
that?
All good.
Can you drink that? That's a good question.
407. Make a nice gravy.
916-1041.
Oh, this is cool. Check this out. So some people texting in at Real Mobile 77031. Their movie that they see too on a monthly basis. This guy, Ocean's 11 twice a month. Tombstone.
Oh, I love Tombstone. I don't watch it that much.
Go ahead.
Raising Arizona, Jimmy.
Yes, of course.
That one comes up a lot. And 12 Monkeys for Brad Pitt.
12 Monkeys is great.
I think you could probably say what you mean by watching it a couple times a month is this. Like, as you're scrolling through your cable provider's, guide there, if you see it, you'll stop on it. How I think about it type thing. I don't know about loading it up and watching it.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. I think there's a difference between that. I think there's a difference between when you're scrolling and you'll stop at a movie that you're familiar with and you'll watch it through and finish that out as to... For me, it's very ritualistic.
You sat down, you watched that movie.
I put the TV, and I will sit there and watch Fight Club all, from beginning to end with no interruptions at least twice a month.
I could do that with Deadpool, literally back to back.
You know the one?
I mean, I think that's one of the... It's the most fun I've had in a movie theater in a long time, and I know it's a while back, but I love it.
The one I come closer to probably would be The Dark Knight, which I watched again last night. My wife had never seen it with Heath Ledger, and I'm like, I'm telling you, you're going to like it because he's so good in it, and she had never seen it and was totally like, man, that he really was great in that role. I mean, he was a great Joker.
Well, yeah. Heath Ledger was an unbelievable actor.
Yeah.
I mean, going into that movie, he had already created some unbelievable moments.
Right. Hey, Mark, you're on Real Radio, 104.1.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy. Hey, what up, Mark?
I want Angel to sit down and watch Raising Arizona and Leaving Las Vegas and then watch 2 of China's movies and still have the nerve to tell me he thinks he's a better actor. And if he still does, he needs to put that pipe down, bro. I love you.
Well, he didn't even laugh at monkeys using a hairdryer. So,
I know.
You got to question anything that the Angel says. I'll be honest with you. All right. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
What I do?
Radio. 104.1.
Hey, remember, we're live on our YouTube channel right now. If you want to go check it out, if you've never checked out our YouTube channel before, just go to iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube. Or you can go to Monsters.fm if you want. When you go to Monsters.fm, there's all kinds of stuff. I put up a video of a monkey playing with a hairdryer, and I think it's hilarious.
But it's breaking the internet.
It's breaking the internet. But Angel also put up some other animal videos that are funny as well. The goats. And
the pigs.
And the pigs.
And the heavy metal rooster.
Okay, so there you go. It's all there at monsters.fm to go check it out. Hey, guys, I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and Karina is here.
Hello, I'm back.
And you hear Karina right here on Real Radio 104.1 on the weekends. And we talked to you last week, and you are very in tune with social media.
I am.
And we thought we'd have you come in and give us like a little, like what's happening on social media, what's the big thing. And today it's probably Demi Lovato, right? Is that
correct? Yeah. I saw yesterday, she like apparently had a overdose.
Yes,
but not of heroin.
No, what, I thought it was.
They had to use Narcan. What does that mean?
It's supposed to be like reversing the effects of an overdose. But they said it's not of heroin. They haven't disclosed what it is.
Oh.
That's sad. I mean,
we don't really have any updates on it.
I thought the only thing they used Narcan for was, I don't know everything about drugs, but I always thought
it could be fentanyl too.
Yeah, it could be any of those, Oxy, whatever the case may be. I mean, it reverses the effects of that, yeah.
Now, it's social media wise, I guess a lot of celebrities are talking about it.
I mean, it blew up. You know what I mean? Like, random ass people are like tweeting at her, like the Kardashian family, I mean, Ariana Grande, like, literally everyone is talking about it right now.
But she's beloved. She's kind of beloved, man.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
how about this? This happened to me yesterday. This is the first time, and this was really bizarre, like dad moment kind of experiencing it, right? So the news breaks, our sister station breaks, and then mentions this, right?
Uh-huh.
Little one's in the back of the car. She's 8 years old.
Right.
For her, Demi Lovato is like the coolest thing ever.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And she instantly was like, Daddy, I want to watch the news. What's going on with her? What's an overdose? What's like all these things? And I was like, holy crap.
What'd you say? I
saw this whole thing. I don't know if you saw it, but like, it was this tweet that was like, you know, Amy Winehouse was seen as a mess when she was alive, but when she died, everyone was like, oh my God, we loved her so much. And same thing with Demi Lovato. People are like, oh, she's like erratic. She's an awful person or whatever you want to say. But now people are saying, oh my God, we loved her so much, blah, blah, blah. So kind of give people their flowers while they're still here.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird though, because with Amy Winehouse, she kind of saw it coming. We knew she had an issue. There are many, many, you know, pieces of video with her on stage slurring and barely able to stand. So, you know, it really wasn't much of a shock when Amy Winehouse did that thing. But, and it's weird though, because with pop stars, because Amy Winehouse really wasn't a pop star. She had a hit that wound up being a pop hit, but she was a blues singer. She sang a lot of that stuff that was kind of mired in that world. The thing about Demi, it was weird. Is we know she's had issues. She's been transparent about alcoholism, drug issues, high levels of depression, and bipolar mania.
Well, didn't she just release a song that was about her sobriety?
Yeah, it was called Sober. She released it, like, what, 3 weeks ago?
But it was basically saying how she wasn't sober.
Yeah.
It was her making an admission to her mother and father that she has basically back on that drink.
I watched her documentary on YouTube. She has a YouTube premium deal with YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And, she went through a pretty damn hard. I think it was a lot of coke back in the day.
Yeah.
And this was like during the Disney years. And so hopefully she does
get
better.
That was like prime time Disney years. Like
hey, Angel,
Camp Rock.
Going back to what you were saying, so your daughter asked, you know, what is an overdose? Like, and she's 8, right?
Yeah, she's 8 years old.
So what did you say to her?
I tried to be, I wasn't trying to be graphic or just overwhelm her with just stuff that she might not be able to comprehend. But I did sit and talk to her and say, hey, listen, like, you know, Demi Lovato, you see her, she's a pop star. She's a singer, and there's different types of stress or things that happen in that kind of lifestyle. We don't know what it is yet. We don't know all the information, but it looks like she might have taken too much of something that put her in the hospital.
Oh, you know? Too much of something.
I don't know if an 8-year-old completely grasps drugs.
Sure. Karina, what else is going on in social media?
All right, so Twitter pretty much blew up the other day when it was Monday night. Yeah, when Raw was on, because Stephanie McMahon announced that there's going to be an all women's WWE pay-per-view.
Oh, really?
I am all in, because WWE pretty much promised, like, we're going to have superstars, because they're not called divas anymore.
Oh, they're not.
They changed that.
They're not called divas. No.
Damn.
They changed the belt and everything to be more, I guess, unified with men's.
So is it really the women's championship belt now? Or
correct. So they promise, like, superstars from the past, present, and future. I have been all in. I mean, they said Trish Stratus might be someone that might be coming back. Ooh. Lita, Ronda Rousey is supposed to be fighting. She's not my personal favorite.
No. So they're really putting a big push now on the females.
So it's going to be called Evolution, and that's supposed to be on October 28th.
That's smart.
How do you think that'll do?
I think it's going to do awesome.
I actually watched the Men's Greatest Royal Rumble. That was in Saudi Arabia, so they couldn't have any women actually participate in that one.
Huh.
I kind of watched that here, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean,
what about so they should? Did they have they ever had done a female Royal
Rumble?
No.
This is like the very first one. Stephanie McMahon is like fully in charge of this one. And I'm all in.
Are you a big wrestling fan?
I love wrestling. Oh. I drove like 2 weekends ago to meet Trish Stratus and SuperCon. So.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Super cool chick.
Right.
I love her. I think we're pretty much best friends at this point. Yeah.
Biffles, huh?
She whipped out her phone, and I thought she was going to have me put my contact information in there.
Turned out she was just calling somebody to get you away from her?
Oh, I mean, I can't confirm or deny that.
On Raw, I mean, do the women still get, do they get as big of a pop as the guys?
I think a little bit more, actually. It's become a thing. Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know if you're familiar, but like Sasha Banks
is
really, really big right now. I mean, obviously Ronda Rousey was one of the biggest deals that they've had.
Yeah, how's she doing now? Is she wrestling?
She's wrestling, but she does, I don't know what it's called, like a submission hold?
She does Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
That's all she does. She can't get on the mic and really talk.
Oh, really?
She'll kick my ass any day.
Yeah.
We have a local girl, and you love wrestling. We have a local girl, and she was a part of our wrestling thing, and she does a lot of stuff around town, and she's really one of the hardest workers. Amber Nova is her name. Mm-hmm. Amber Nova, I follow her on Twitter, on Facebook. She's the hardest working female wrestler I've ever seen, and watch for her to make it one day. Her name is Amber Nova. She's from right here in Orlando, and she wrestled on our, you know, the wrestling thing that we did.
Yeah, and then the other chick actually made it out of here. Bailey, is that
who it is?
Yeah, she's huge right now. She has this whole thing going on with Sasha Banks.
Wow, nice.
Yes, yes. So I'm looking forward to that, and if, you know, your friend wants to train me.
That's funny.
You would wrestle?
Yeah, I would wrestle, but I would suck. I know that.
Quickly, real quick, wait a minute, guys. Do you think GLOW, the success of the show GLOW, had anything to do with Vince McMahon making this move and going, hey, man, there's an audience now. People are paying attention to this girl wrestling thing. We tried it back in the day with the whole diva thing. It didn't peter out, per se, but I think the quality and magnitude of the stars kind of started to wane a little bit. I don't know what happened. Do you think that maybe rejuvenated?
Absolutely. And I think the year 2018, it's like the year of the woman. So why not go ahead and do that?
I was about to say, I think they're making up for a lot of years of being sexist and chauvinistic. Yeah. And so they're making the right move at the right time. I don't know how much GLOW
you guys
had
think. Well, I mean, coupled with, let's say, with GLOW, but with also actually seeing women fight. UFC has been probably one of those progressive about letting women, I mean, fight. You know what I'm saying? We've had some iconic stars. Do you think that has helped to show that they can mix it up for real, you know?
Totally.
So, okay, when you saw on social, you said it blew up on Twitter about the all female pay-per-view.
Yes.
And that's coming up very soon.
Yep.
So you think it actually, do their pay-per-views still do as well as they used to?
Yeah, I mean, I have the WWE Network.
I've seen some stories where they're missing some superstars right now.
They are, like, John Cena is kind of like a part-time wrestler right now.
Yeah.
Who's their biggest star right now, WWE?
Depends. I mean, you could say like AJ Styles is really, really big. Men wise, Finn Balor is like.
Finn Balor, never even heard of him.
Ooh, look at him.
All right.
Just look at him.
Okay. Okay, so it's a totally different issue now.
So you watch the wrestling for the dude. You just like to see the guys.
No. I'm there for the entire thing.
You're in for the storyline, the whole thing. Yeah.
Did you go to WrestleMania? You had to have been there, right?
I went to WrestleMania when it was here, like 2008.
Yeah.
And also, like, was it? Two years ago, because last WrestleMania was terrible.
Yeah.
Boring. But yes, the one here in Orlando, I was here for.
Hey, okay. Yeah.
And some trends that are going on right now that I've noticed.
What you got?
Yes.
The 80s and 90s are back.
Okay. Hell yeah! Yeah. Hell yeah!
I know you guys might have some acid wash jeans in your closet that have been collecting dust. Whip those out right now.
So acid wash jeans or
so jean jackets.
Wash your ass jeans. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm constantly wearing a jean jacket. It's like a part of my daily wardrobe.
Who brought it back? Who really brought it back?
Stranger Things, I would probably say.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that became a thing. I mean, look at my hair. I mean, the people listening right now can't really look at
they
it.
They can see
it
on YouTube. Well, we're live on YouTube. Like, they can see your hair, yeah.
This was done on purpose.
So it's an 80s an 80s thing?
Yeah, and actually, I think tomorrow I'm going to go to the Cyndi Lauper concert.
Oh, it's Cyndi Lauper and Rod Stewart.
So I need some tips.
What kind of tips you need?
What frosted? Should I do? Yes, frosted tips, please. What should I do? Like, what's the 80s
You got to scrunch up your hair, the scrunchy thing.
That's already done.
You're already scrunched. Okay.
Bangs. We're on number one.
Bangs. You need big bangs.
But listen.
You need jelly bracelets and jelly shoes.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Neon.
I'm into it.
Lots of neon.
I'm into it.
What about some ponytail to the side with?
Yes. Yes. What about, like, this makeup? What should I do?
You know, go with a brighter color, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
like, real bright. Like, red lipstick.
Red lipstick and a good, like, green.
Look at Cyndi Lauper, 86, and copy that makeup.
I'm into it, and I think maybe like Savannah when she's in, we can do like a little like queer eye. For
I'm sure
guy.
She would do that for.
I love that makeup.
Okay, yeah. So what do you know about Cyndi Lauper, and what do you know about Rod Stewart?
Yeah, like well, when you think of Cyndi Lauper, what is the first image that you think?
Yeah,
of?
I'm curious.
I think of like her "Girls Just Want to Have Fun" video.
Okay,
like,
okay,
you know. She just did a whole thing with Kinky Boots and Brendon Urie.
But that's considered really old music to you, right? Like
No. Old music to me is like 50s, 60s.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you love all kinds of music.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm all over the place. Now, I'm Hurricane Carina.
So Hurricane Carina. You're more excited about seeing Cyndi Lauper than Rod Stewart?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know a Rod Stewart song.
Rod Stewart's a much bigger star.
That's basically all the songs.
That's Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of mumble. He's the Don't You Think I'm Sexy?
Yeah.
Okay, got
if
it.
You want my body.
Which Ross sings in the shower every morning.
Oh, he's got a ton of hits.
You think I'm hot and I'm so sexy.
Hot legs. I mean, he's got a bunch of hits, yeah.
I mean, I know his daughter Kimberly Stewart for falling on the red carpet. That's all I know.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
She has a kid with Benicio Del Toro.
Oh, really?
It was a one-night stand.
Wow.
Damn. Oh,
wow.
I didn't know that. So are you going with a bunch of friends to the...
I'm actually working.
Oh, you're
working? Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I guess I'm going with a friend.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Yeah, it'll be fun. All right. So maybe I should ask people on Instagram what I should... also look like.
Well, I think bright colors. I think the jelly shoes, that's a good idea.
A half shirt that off one shoulder.
Literally me right now.
Yeah, you're good to go right now.
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
I think you're
good. Oh my God, I'm on trend.
What are other trends happening then now? I mean, as far as...
Like the tiny little glasses. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Little baby glasses?
Yeah, little baby glasses that don't even actually protect your eyes. They're just like sitting here.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
On the bridge of your nose.
I like that.
Colored sunglasses.
Yeah.
I used to make fun of Bono. Because I was like, well, it's not really a look. Because, you know, he would wear, like, the blue-tinted ones.
Yeah.
But then I found out he wears it because he has glaucoma.
He does. He's not doing it to be cool.
So I felt like a dude.
You felt bad. Right.
I did. Wrong. But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Very good. Well, nice. If people want to listen to you on the weekends, when are you on the weekend?
Yep, I'm on Saturdays and Sundays here on Real Radio 104.1 for Real Music Weekends from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m.
All right, nice. Carina, thank you for coming in.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
Thank All
right,
you.
You're listening to The Mantra of the Morning. Hey, remember, we're live on our YouTube channel, and during the breaks, we can talk to you on the YouTube channel. Just go to monsters.fm or realradio.fm, or if you go to iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube, you can check it out, and we're live there right now. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. I asked Carina to stick around for one more segment because I have an email, and a lot of times it's good to get a female perspective. You know, because a lot of times we just give our perspective, and it's hard to get a female perspective on some of these things. Even when we have Savannah in, I don't know that we have a full female perspective.
She's got reptilian thought. She's got, you know, whoop ass thought.
Yeah, see, that's a different perspective when we've got Savannah. So, Carina, do you mind helping us out with the email?
I would love to.
All right, so this is from a guy. His name is Justin. He's been listening for a long time, big fan of the show, and he says a bunch of stuff here that are not important. Let's see here. Then he goes to, I got a big question of why my girlfriend broke up with me. He's very upset.
Uh-oh.
Said that they've been dating since January. I thought everything was going very well and very fine, and she dumped me the other night after being distant for about a week. Her reason for breaking up with me was because she's focused on her career. Her career is she is a makeup artist and a sales girl at the MAC The Mac, you
yeah,
know,
Mac thing, right.
Up at this particular mall around here. I shouldn't say where it is, I guess. But you know, the Mac, Mac girl.
Jeez, dude, that wasn't discreet at all.
Oh yeah. Well, he said it. I thought I should. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Way to mask it. There are four malls in Orlando.
At the Altamont Mall. Okay,
yeah, there you go. Okay, you might as well just say it.
Now he says, "Look, she loves her job and always is talking about her job, but never really mentioned like moving up in her career or anything like that." So the reason that she gave,
she
that
never
she
showed
up,
any ambition.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. He said she never even said she wanted to be a manager, I didn't think that she really had any focus on her work. I think she was cheating on me and met someone new, but maybe I'm just being paranoid. Maybe she really all of a sudden became really interested in her job. What do you think? I'm very upset. This is Justin. So, okay, so female perspective. So he thought everything was fine, and then 1 week he says she was distant, and then the reason for breaking up was, well, you know, I'm really into my job now. Right. Is BS, or do you think she met somebody?
I call BS 100%. Who's she going to meet at the Mac counter?
Dude-wise.
A guy goes to buy, makeup for his girl.
Yeah, but he's with somebody.
I think she's been absolutely just cheating on him, or she just doesn't like him anymore. So what's his name, Justin?
This is Justin, yeah.
Justin, I'm sorry, but she's not into you anymore.
So
it sounds also like he doesn't talk to her. Like, how do you not know if your girl has career aspirations? Like, ask her that. You have that conversation.
Yeah, he says, we've been dating since January. I thought everything was going well, and then she dumped me the other night after being distant for just a week. Her reason was that she needed to focus on her career. Her career is she's a makeup artist in the Mac, you know.
Baby, I got to tell you, after talking to you for like an hour, I can see you selling MILF's blush for a long time.
Hell yeah.
Maybe she's trying to become like one of those YouTube makeup artists.
That's the way to go.
Dude, we have somebody in our family.
Yeah.
A kid, and he's, I think he's a 18 or 19 or 20-year-old boy in her family.
Right.
Up north, and he has turned himself into, I believe, one of YouTube's premier makeup artists. I'll have to find out his name during
James
the break.
Charles?
I don't know. I can't remember his name.
Is it Billy Fierce?
I don't know if it's Billy Fierce or not, but that is a great name. Yeah. But I mean, apparently he is a stone cold baller
is it makeup Maddie?
Yeah, I don't know. I can text my wife real quick, find out who it is. But
these
people,
like, they make like $1 million.
Millions,
a day.
Yeah.
Let me ask you,
is it Jaclyn Hill? Don't tell me it's
Jaclyn
Hill.
Oh my God, if it's Jaclyn Hill, I'm buying the palette now.
Oh my God, my wife already has a champagne pop.
about champagne pop.
What's up, girl?
The Jaclyn Morphe palette?
Oh, yeah.
Karina, let's go back to Justin here for a second. So, true or false? Once she's gone, if she's decided she's gone, then she's gone. Or could he win her back? Is it a possibility of winning her back?
I mean, what does Justin do for a living?
Apparently, not the makeup counter.
We don't know. He just emailed us. We do not know that.
I make pancakes.
I don't know if he can win her back. I mean,
I've always heard that once a woman has decided she's done, she's done.
Absolutely. But
is this accurate?
Me,
yeah.
You take it back? Okay, my perspective.
Yeah.
I am a woman who decides, who has multiple decisions going on at a time. I can never make a decision. I'm so undecisive.
Ooh.
So when I get upset with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like 5 minutes later, I take it back.
Okay, so you've been where you're like, I'm ready to break up, I'm done, and then you calm down, and then you...
Then that codependency kicked in.
Yeah.
We know.
And I
know that laugh.
I don't want to be by myself.
Dude.
How long you been with him?
Honestly, 4 years.
4 years,
would it
okay.
freak you out to be single right now?
Yeah, and I don't want to be, and I love him, and he's listening right now. Hi, Sam.
So, okay, so you've been with him for 4 years, but there have been times when you were ready to be done.
Yes.
And what was it that won you back?
I mean, I just thought about, like, the good times and, you know, everything he's done for me and whatnot.
Well, why aren't you guys married yet?
Sam, you know, that's up to him.
Yeah, 4 years. It's about time to get engaged. What's wrong with you, Karina?
Russ, how many times would you have married Karina if you were with her for 4 years?
By 7 times, at least. Yeah, yeah.
We would have had a divorce.
Yeah,
you know,
we would have lived the whole life. This Is Us series.
Now, in your head, are you waiting for him to ask you?
Yeah.
He knows that.
Oh, yeah. He knows you're waiting.
Does it have to be elaborate because your social media doesn't have to be this like...
No, okay. So he told me, he was like, I have it all planned out, because he's like someone that does... I know. He's not someone that scales back on stuff
like
that.
Oh, he goes big.
Dude, so like, all out.
So you're expecting something really big when he finally asks you the question.
I mean, I'm not... I'm not going to say it, but yeah.
Yeah, it needs to be
you
big.
Just kind of did say it
so
to
you
about 2 million people.
Photographer yeah. on site.
So,
like,
oh, so you want the family, on? Like he proposes, oh, there's photographer, you walk to the side, there's the whole family.
No. Draw it out. If you were going to draw it out, if you were going to draw it out, the perfect way for him to propose to
he
you.
Asked about me this. He asked me this.
Yeah?
Bro, change the station, bro.
Tell me what you think.
Change the station.
What artist?
Change your dress.
Spoiler alert.
Listen.
What artist would be playing if you're because DJ Angel Boom knows every single performer from here to Mississippi.
Oh, Desi, so he can give me the hookup.
Yeah. What artist do you love? And you could be playing in the background as you.
Any artist?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Love. Think of
Demi Lovato.
Anything.
Dude, not really. Like Panic at the Disco or someone
like
that.
Oh, yeah, you love Panic at the Disco.
So that's playing in the background. Yeah. Where are you at?
Strike one.
I would...
A restaurant? Theme park? You at Disney?
Yes.
All right, so there he is, Brandon.
That's not very romantic, Karina.
Fireworks would be.
Fireworks would be
going off, and there's a flash mob.
Okay, you need a flash mob.
So you want nothing, something a little small? They're all Jesus. Dancing.
And she's smelling. Going for a YouTube moment, people.
And my they're God. Smelling Karina.
Angel, you're gonna be mad when I go viral.
I'm not. I'm gonna laugh and be like, that's exactly what she wanted.
This is interesting though. For you, it would be this is kind of happy music, and it would be a flash mob.
I'm sure.
Would you be at a theme park? Would you be
you love the theme park.
Dude, I know I love the theme parks, but
is it too cliche?
Too cliche. Too overdone.
Okay, give me a spot.
Hot.
Where?
Let's say
France.
Francais.
Oh,
you got to go to France.
But man, what's your boyfriend's name again?
Sam.
Or you could just go to France at the Epcot.
Epcot, that one.
Don't be cheap.
Damn, Sam is tripping right now.
Sam
is like.
He gets paid?
He's listening right now.
He's got
cash?
He got some cash.
Oh.
But like right now he's probably calculating all the little things here and there in his head. Right.
So you're putting Sam's business out on Front Street. What you just did now is that every broad that knows who you are is like, Sam's got it like that.
Honestly though, like if he does it and if it's low key, I'm fine with that.
You're fine
so
with low key.
Right now.
Fine with that.
She literally look on YouTube, she's rolling her eyes.
It's not
tell you,
how he does it.
I hope he texts proposes to you now.
Like,
I do. I hope it's like, hey, what do you think? I hope it's that demure.
Karina, let me ask you a question. So let's say he does the flash mob, and it's at Lake Eola, okay?
Yeah.
And it's on YouTube, and it's great and everything, and he gives you the ring.
Oh, my God, okay? A peddling swan flash mob? Nothing gayer.
Do you take the ring to go get it, evaluated or to go
to see if it's real?
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Oh
Russ.
Man! No, because I would find out once it starts rusting on my finger that it was fake.
And you're not you want a good size rock. You don't want
no little.
How many carats shaving? Like maybe two, maybe three.
Maybe like a five.
Oh, okay, we're talking.
You need 5 carats. And a flash mob.
And a flash mob and fireworks and Panic at the Disco playing live.
Live.
Well, can I tell you, you ruled out everything else when you said 5 carats.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 90 grand.
It's fine. It's an investment in
Is there
my
somebody
future.
That could check on him right now to make sure he hasn't passed out?
He probably doesn't have a pulse right now.
What does Sam do for a living?
Yeah.
He actually is a creative writer.
Oh,
okay.
So he's a freelance writer right now.
Okay, all right. So he
makes that coin.
He does pretty well.
Yeah, he's all good.
Okay.
No college degree.
Yeah.
Shouts out to no one that went to college. I graduated from UCF.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. What's your degree in?
I actually did a double major in communications and behavioral and social science.
And look at you now.
And here I am.
Wow.
And look at you now.
College tuition.
How
you might as well have gotten a degree in fun.
So how much do you wait
for carnival?
How much longer do you wait for the proposal?
What's that?
Like how much longer do you wait for the proposal?
What's the max?
If it goes another year, are you like,
come on.
I would give him like 2 or 3.
Years?
He gets 3 more years.
Oh my
God. He gets 3 more years.
You must have to save up for.
You must be 19 years old.
But listen,
it's a light
maybe
sentence.
I moisturize. Listen, if I can get married by 30, uh-huh. I'll be good.
Okay. All right.
That's it.
What about kids?
30. Dude, I used to want to have kids at 19.
Yeah.
I used to want 6 kids in total, and I said, oh, hell no.
Right.
Yeah, until you get around some kids, and you're like...
Huh, I'm a babysitter, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, so the makeup artist is a guy named Jake Warden.
Okay.
Jake Warden, you heard of him?
Jake Warden?
Yeah, W-A-R-D-O-N, I believe.
No.
Man, there's so many people on YouTube making money doing makeup tutorials, and it's almost oversaturated.
I think he started when he was 15.
Wow.
And then they picked him up, and I think he has a few national sponsors and does quite well.
Hell yeah.
He has a million followers.
So he's
that's
no
crazy.
Joke. He's oh no joke. God. And I think, honestly, I think he started when he was 15 years old.
That's where I started. Yeah.
That's on YouTube. He has a million subscribers?
Yep. Yeah, a million subscribers. Is he
wow.
trans?
He's
oh, he has a video saying,
he's in that world. I don't know.
Yeah, he has a video titled Becoming a Woman.
Yeah, yeah, I've never met him. And actually, it's not part of our family. It's part of Code Black's family.
Okay.
So, but, you know, our families are kind of two in the same. So when we talk about people like him, mm-hmm. and he's her sister's son, and he's been doing that for quite a while. I think he's awesome. Out of Colorado.
Okay, Karina, to wrap this all up, back to our listener, Justin, who asked the question, wanting to know, well, you know, he's thinking, I think she was cheating on me. I'm a bit paranoid. It doesn't matter if she was cheating or not. If she says she's done.
Right. I think she was just, like, mentally checked out from that relationship.
And not much he can do to win her back?
Probably not. That's for him.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Karina. I appreciate it. And we'll see you next Wednesday.
And one day you will be a bride.
And one day you'll be a bride.
You know what? You guys will be there for it.
There you go. All right. You guys are invited. We'll be there for you. Hey, when we come back, it's time for Deborah Roberts to bring in the real news. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Remember, coming up soon, we're going to have the Monster Back to School Skate Party. Carlos B.
Why? Yo.
I don't get the B part.
You don't get freestyle music, man. Everybody has B. Everybody has B. Come on.
Okay, all right. Well, you got that. It's going to be August the 10th. From 7 until 9, it's a Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night, man.
And we're asking you to, you know, bring some stuff for, like, school supplies for the kids. It's for a gift for teaching. You know, Angel will be spinning tunes. So I didn't realize, Angel, that you had done that before. You had been a DJ at a skating rink.
One of my very first DJ experiences was a roller skating rink in Kissimmee.
Yeah.
And my buddy Jazzy, he was the DJ there. He was the first one that... taught me how to match up beats and stuff like that.
Hell,
and
he had
1200s. I at that time, because I was a junior in high school, I think he was a little bit older than me, and he was already, like, he was in high school, but he was already living on his own.
Yeah.
He had his own place and whatnot, and he had turntables and everything set up in his apartment, like, in the middle of the living room.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the life. This is what I want to do. You know?
Yeah.
He had his own car and everything and whatnot. I was just like, you know,
this guy's the coolest.
Yeah, he doesn't
man.
Have to answer
yeah.
to anybody. Yeah. No, he was dating his girlfriend was in my class. That's how I met him.
Yeah.
And he was already out of high school. Like, he was a year older than us, or 2 years older than us.
And this perception of him not only did impress you, but you, in a way, started to curtail your life to kind of, in that way, kind of be that person. Not be that person entirely, but that lifestyle.
Well,
right?
No, there was definitely, like, I was all, you know, I watched my dad when he was in radio and doing the DJ and stuff, you know, in Spain and whatnot. So I got it at home, and he would, you know, like I said, the premise of the show on Friday nights, he'd invite all the, you know, the airmen over, the young guys there that are by themselves, and they're from Puerto Rico. Dad would bring them over, mom's cooking dinner, he's in front of his system
yeah.
playing records for them. So I had that already. Jazzy was probably, him and another guy, another DJ from Arkansas, they were the first guys that were closer to me in age
yeah.
that I saw it as attainable.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's probably where the first influences were.
Nice. Well, I tell you what, skating to me was a point of...
no return?
Nervousness. It just made me nervous. And I had to go because all friends were going, but I'd be so nervous because I couldn't skate very well.
Oh, man. Well, now's your time to shine.
Oh,
when
yeah,
you host
right.
the couple
oh,
skates.
I'm sure I'm going
to... Deborah, are you going to be able to come to the skate night August 10th? I'd love to see you there. It's for a gift for teaching, a great cause.
Oh, I love a gift for teaching. That's a great organization.
And get on the skates. I can see you, girl, just getting out there, gliding, having... You hear it?
Has it been a while since you skated?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And when you fall at my age, it hurts for a long time.
You're not that old. Come on, stop it.
No, but, my body does sound like a box of Rice Krispies when I wake up in the morning. So I'm not real sure I want to, but, you know.
Well, you can walk around, watch other people there.
I plan on at least...
Satin shorts and some roller skates.
I can make it, slowly around. I'm not racing. Like, Dirty Jim can race and go real fast.
Really?
And he can backward skate and all
that.
Yeah,
he's pretty good at it.
I'm not doing any of that.
Seriously? Can he do the splits?
I don't.
Now, I can do something that reminds that, but it's just because my stomach is weak these days.
But we'd love to see you there. It's going to be on August the 10th, and it's going to be a great cause, and it's at Astra Skate, and looking forward to it.
Cool. So, Denver can we dress Jimmy up like Gold Member? Austin Powers.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm sure he'd easy. Do it.
The same gold lemonade.
Easy.
But she was your friend.
Yeah.
She did too until this afternoon when we talked.
So, Deborah, what's going on in the real news?
Oh, let's see.
Is anything happening with that Stand Your Ground?
A lot of things are happening. If you remember the name Benjamin Crump, a Tallahassee civil rights attorney who had also represented Trayvon Martin's family in the famous case 6 years ago. He's now representing the family of Marquise McLaughlin.
Okay.
And they held a press conference yesterday saying the fatal wound to his side is going to prove that this isn't a stand your ground case.
Yeah, the guy was walking away.
Because it was in his side, right, instead of his chest.
Yeah.
They also say that the evidence proves that Michael Draca, the shooter, was not in fear of his life.
Yeah.
But they're still waiting on the state attorney's office to decide whether or not they're going to go ahead and file charges. So, that's what we're waiting on right now.
And what charges, right?
And what charges.
Because that's the whole thing. That's how these things get shuffled out. The second you hear the charge, it's like you can pretty much, if they go first degree murder, something crazy like that, then you're going to stand a worse chance of winning.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there outrage with this? Is there outcry? Or is it a story that's now starting to die already?
Oh, no, not at all. Okay. I think with the addition of Benjamin Crump and the big press conference they held yesterday, it's gaining new legs. It's made the national wire now instead of it just being a kind of regional story, as it were.
Okay.
So we've got that. We've got ISIS now claiming that the Toronto shooter was one of their soldiers. So ISIS has claimed responsibility for that. No word on if that's really the case. The family had said that he suffered from psychosis and severe depression his entire life, had been hospitalized. So the investigation into that shooting still continues.
Yeah, that's interesting. Toronto's really kind of a hot spot as of late.
Yeah, and it's Canada's biggest city, I believe.
Yeah,
so,
it is. And but ISIS, look, man, for a while, that's all we heard was ISIS, 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 intentionally so by politicians, by people who wanted you.
And by ISIS. And you know what they're doing right now? They're taking on the Taliban, so go for it. Yeah. ISIS and the Taliban, please.
Let them fight it out. Yeah.
Fight it out over there and take each other out.
Yeah.
Keep your mess over there.
But they're pretty close to being eliminated, ISIS in itself, and its stronghold. And, and I mean, they've been almost decimated for the past 4 or 5 years that we've really been going at them.
Their biggest weapon is their ability to militarize the web and reach these isolated people, because and it's interesting, the guy who's like the head of ISIS tech, really, they have a guy who's like leads all their social media and everything.
Yeah, American dude.
American educated, like at MIT or something. A brilliant guy who's really kind of helped spread their message of hate and fear and everything else. Speaking of mess, yesterday on Interstate 10, if you were anywhere near Tallahassee, there was a 45-car pileup.
How does that happen?
45 cars. A heavy rainstorm.
Rain, yeah.
A semi-truck tried to pass a slower-moving vehicle, jackknifed, ended up causing 18 separate crashes that involved 45 vehicles on Interstate 10.
Any deaths?
No.
Oh, thank God.
No, one motorcyclist was critically injured when he went off the side of the interstate trying to avoid a collision, ended up hitting the back of a vehicle that had also left the interstate. Amazing that there isn't any deaths after a 45-car pileup.
That's a lot.
I wonder how long it took to clean up. That had to have taken
hours.
I mean, hours.
What time was it?
It was 5:30 yesterday afternoon.
The worst time. That's bad.
Yeah, one lady said that people were playing music and dancing. Other people were handing down. Dead stop for hours.
You can
imagine if they have 18 crashes, they have to get all the details on the investigation before they move those vehicles. They said other people were handing water down from the overpass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so people were helping other people out who were stuck there. But can you imagine, it's 5:30, you're on your way home.
And you just want to get home.
You just want to get home. It's Tuesday, otherwise known as Monday's Ugly Sister.
Yes.
You know, and then you're stuck in a 45-car pile.
There were people already complaining this morning about being stuck at on I-4 this morning, you know, because, I mean, it's constant.
Oh, it's a miserable, miserable road to drive. It normally is, but with this construction and then knowing it's going to be, you know, it's, what, 245 days behind delay and delayed, and it's not going to finish until 2021. Then came the news that the construction on Maitland Boulevard also isn't going to be ending anytime soon.
Oh, really?
That project, too, is delayed.
Yeah.
And this is all working into a toll road, right? I mean, we're still going to have to be paying if you wanted to use a super express lane. Is
yeah,
that
the,
what it is?
Oh, yeah. The middle lane.
The middle lane's on an I-4, yeah. It's just like in South Florida.
Right.
If you drive, you know, 95 and you want to avoid the traffic, you pay those lanes.
Yeah. Oh, man, see, yeah, I would do it every time.
The turnpike,
and that's what that's really what they're hoping. I mean, it's just basically a big numbers game because what they want is to lighten the load of I-4.
Yeah.
Of course, the extra lanes and easier way to get in and out of exits is going to be one aspect of it. You know, but they're hoping a certain percentage of people opt to go to that middle lane, which will all even out after a while because people won't see the value in it after a while. Maybe I-4 will move at its own pace finally. So it's going to be an interesting thing. See how that works out.
Yeah.
And I'm like you. I used to say, no, I'm not going to take the 408. I'll just take I-4. And then after a while, you're like, yeah, screw that.
Right.
I'm totally going to take the 408. Roseanne Barr is going to be doing her first interview.
With who?
Oh, is she?
Tomorrow night.
With who?
Sean Hannity. Surprise.
Yeah.
Probably get some tough questions there.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Hard-hitting journalism.
Man, there's such insulation for some of these people. It's like they can go to the perfect little, you know, softball throws.
You know what the funny thing is?
I'm sorry, Jim.
That's right.
I thought she had some other works. In progress, like there was
show
or something.
There's been rumors of that, but there's been nothing firm or confirmed. I know that the Conners is set to debut on ABC in October.
Who the hell's going to put a show on her right now? Who in this time right now would put a network show on with Roseanne? I couldn't possibly because
TBS might do it.
There's two companies that own everything.
Yeah, the problem is when you put her on, you automatically assume all the responsibility. You can't put it on her anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, she's taken herself out of the blame package because you know what you're getting when you hire her. It'd be like hiring Charlie Sheen and get mad when he doesn't show up from a 5-day coke binge to do his role. You can't blame anybody else but yourself because you knew what you were getting.
Right.
Some web stuff, some apps, maybe something like that. But I just can't see any network.
You know, I got to tell you something else, man. It's weird with that Hannity thing. You know, Hannity has been one of the guys that, even outside of the idea of being a right-wing, you know, Republican, beyond the extremist or Tea Party thing, he's one of the guys who will not bend. I mean, there are a lot of guys on the conservative side, Shepard, who have been very vocal about their... about how the president has rolled and some of the decisions that have been made and have called them into question. And actually, a lot more of the Fox guys are doing that. Hannity will not bend. I mean, she will not get any questions from Hannity that will even challenge her to give an answer if that's where they go or wind up.
He'll probably get her to cry. And, you know, I mean, you know, it's not really going to be that much of a mea culpa.
Right.
Yeah. I saw Mars. Right now, Mars is closer than it's ever been.
It's so beautiful when you see it in the morning sky.
And they say there's like, I guess, some sort of a sandstorm on the entire planet.
That's pretty much what it is, right? A giant sandstorm?
Yeah, it's even brighter now than normal. So if you ever want a chance to see it, it's between now and the 31st. If you can get hold of, I guess, a telescope or whatever, you should...
Even a good pair of binoculars.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we're leaving for work that early in the morning, you can see it. It looks like a little orange ball. It's definitely bigger than a star.
Yeah. Really?
And you can see the orange glow to it. I've been watching it for weeks.
All right, little hue there.
And they say to look... Now, I haven't seen it yet, but they say to see it, you got to look at the moon and then look off to the left, I think?
Yes, you will see it because, again, it's bigger than a star. And just look for the fact that it looks like it has an orange glow to it.
Damn it, I was going
to
look for it this morning and I forgot when I walked outside. And
it's so funny because I've been seeing it and then there's a couple mornings it's like, wait a minute, where did it go? And then this morning I saw it again and I was like, damn it, I got to remember to get my telescope out.
Wow. Yeah, that's the... You don't think that... I guess we always can see Mars, though, right?
Can we?
It depends on the orbit. That's a question beyond my capabilities at the moment.
Yeah. But I know between now and the 31st, you definitely can see
exactly.
It,
and on Friday, we have the blood moon, the longest lunar eclipse, but we're not going to be able to see it here in the United States because it's going to be daytime here.
But isn't it crazy? In our lifetime, we will be visiting Mars. Yeah. We will have, you know, if everything goes according to plan, if how all scientists and rocket scientists and physicists say, you know, exponential growth that technology is taking, we will be going to Mars.
Well,
that blows my mind.
If we make it to 2029, we're good.
Singularity.
All right. Well, Denver. NASA just had an agreement with the NFL Players Association. NASA just joined an agreement with the NFL Players Association to help football players start up their own businesses after they get off the gridiron.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. That's a good thing.
Yeah. That is a good thing.
All right, Deborah, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it. When we come back, Jeff Kauffman has been out in San Diego at the biggest Comic-Con they've got going on, and so he's going to come in and give us the nerdy news and tell us everything that he learned at Comic-Con. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Mantra of the Morning. Of the morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. Remember to check out our website at monsters.fm. There's lots of funny videos on that we put on earlier this morning. My favorite is the monkey with the hairdryer, but you can go check them all out, and they're at monsters.fm. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and a special guest today for the Nerdy News is Jeff Kauffman, who just got back the red eye flight, right?
Yeah.
From San Diego, and you were out at Comic-Con all week. It's crazy. Obviously the entertainment shows and stuff, where a lot of them were, you know, talking about Comic-Con, how it is the biggest comic book, thing in the country.
Yeah, 1/4 million people. Bigger than the Super Bowl.
That is crazy. And you took some video and showed me their convention center, and it's huge.
Yeah, it's long to long. I mean, that's the best way. It's like crossing multiple football fields day in and day out.
And so, you went there with Big City Comics, your comic book company, and you were, you know, presenting all the comic books that you have. What else, when you go and set up, is it difficult to set up there?
Oh, it's a zoo.
It's just,
you're going to get run over. I mean, you know, there's a lot of car accidents that happen inside the convention center. There's, you know, just ridiculous. All you're seeing people construct these 2-3 story things.
Yeah.
I mean, you would be surprised to see how much money is spent on every one of these booths. You'll have booths where they're constructing actual like buildings. They spend $500,000 to do this stuff.
Well, I had a study up the other day, and they're like, well, the comic book industry went down by 3% last year. It only made $1.8 billion. it's a huge industry, right?
Oh, it's a ridiculous industry. If you just go there to see the power of it,
yeah.
A good friend of mine, Jamie, who works for DC, he's producing like 9 shows, including Teen Titans and everything else. They spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars there.
Oh,
it was ridiculous.
So, yes, Angel.
So going through that, and I know you're there for your company and making your presentations, but you're walking away from that. You're coming back. You're on the flight back. Is there a way to, or do they quantify it, or is there to say this is who stole Comic-Con?
Yeah, they do have the winners and losers.
Yeah.
You know, some of the big, like Johnny Depp was the biggest loser.
Really?
Okay, were you there for that, Jeff?
Yeah.
Okay, so because I only saw a little video of it, and from what I saw, he's playing the character from one of the new movies, the Harry Potter, and he comes out, and it looked flat.
Yeah, he comes out, and people realize California has its own politics to begin with. Most of the people there, about, let's say, 70% are from California. The other 30% come in from all over the place. But he showed up, and they were not happy.
Why? I mean,
Amber Heard was there as well?
Well, it's because he supposedly beat up his ex.
Amber Heard, yeah.
Yeah, and it's no bueno when stuff like that happens.
So he comes out as the character.
In full costume, okay. Because he knows if he would have showed up, you know, just looking like him, they would have laid him out cold.
Yeah. So did they give a big applause?
Nothing. It was like dead, kind of. It was like, normally a guy like that shows up, the place erupts.
Yeah.
Tom Hiddleston has done it before with Loki, and they lose their minds, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like the guy who played Vision, a couple of people show up, and anytime you see them, they go crazy. It was really lukewarm.
So that was awkward. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who was the big winner for Comic-Con?
Well, there was a couple. There's, for example, the new female Doctor Who came out there.
Oh, yeah.
How'd it go?
They love her.
They love her, and it was kind of interesting. My buddy Kelly Yates, who does all the covers for Doctor Who and all the Funko Pop toys.
Yeah.
You know, he was there, and he was telling me, he goes, oh, yeah, they're just having such a good time with her. Her name's Jodie Whittaker, and she's you know, real solid actress.
And Doctor Who's been around since the 60s, right?
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of them, and they're all really these nice British guys.
Yeah.
And hello. You know, it's like, oh, Jeff Alm. Like Sylvester McCoy, who was also in Lord of the Rings. He was this really nice guy. I met him at Dragon Con a couple years ago. I'm on a panel with him.
So, and the thing with Doctor Who is they can...
travel, right?
They just replace him with another doctor. That's the whole thing. They time travel, but the funny thing, it's the only show this works at. When they want to replace the actor, they just kill him and replace him with another actor, and they say, oh, he's reincarnated as this other guy.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's a good gimmick.
Yeah, it's a great gimmick, and it seems to work for a lot of people.
Because I will tell you, like, social media-wise and everything, one of the surprises, even to me, because I'm, like, really interested in seeing this now, up until they dropped the trailer, I was like, hey, whatever. But while you're there, does Shazam come off the same way there that the way it did on social media?
Yeah, it's likable. It's
right.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
See, DC is finally learning. And I had dinner with Jamie, who's a big guy at DC, and we were talking about it. He goes, listen, that's the big thing. You know, so many people want to be so serious. And the reason why Marvel does so well is they laugh at themselves.
Yeah. They got goof and stuff inside those movies.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And Shazam looks funny.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks good.
Yeah, because he's playing a kid-like character, which is exactly who Shazam is, instead of the, hello, you know. He's this funny guy. Oh, wow, look, I got powers.
Well, when I first saw the costume, I was like, that looks ridiculous. But
it looks pretty weird.
Yeah, but it's what a little kid kind of sees, the superhero. So that I really hope it works, because a lot of good people in that cast.
How did the Aquaman trailer come off?
Oh, people are so nitpicky.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how crappy people are.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, we know.
We have a good idea.
Yeah, we have a good idea, Jeff.
Within 2 minutes of the trailer, they had the Black Panther trailer right up, and they're matching scenes.
Oh,
look at this, and look at this. Stop it. And Jason Momoa is one of the coolest dudes
in the world.
In the world.
Was he there?
Oh, he's a monster. He walks by my booth, and he's got security. He's about a head above his security. It was so cool. I was sitting there going, oh, geez, that's Momoa.
Wow, so he just walked by the booth.
Just walks right by with like this team
entourage of
people. And you saw everybody from the movie. And I'm not one to geek out, but I like this guy.
But you know what? I like movie stars in that sense that you look at that guy and you're like, well, no doubt that dude is playing Aquaman. You know, like, he is a bad actor.
What did you think of the trailer?
You deserve it, you know?
I like the trailer.
I like the trailer. I thought it was good.
I didn't see it.
Solid.
I didn't see it.
I was in, you know, the weird thing is you could be at your hotel and normally I'm burnt out. I've done 10 hours on the floor. I've been out with a lot of people. I'm sitting in the chair and I look over and there's Stefan, who plays Colossus in Deadpool.
Okay, yeah.
And he walks over to me. Hey, Jeff, man, we're talking about he's a big Tesla fan because he's Serbian. You know, he has that voice, you know, he's just, and they do the balls, you know, when he walks around, he does the whole thing. But, you know, he's a real fan of the books, and he sits down, we're talking about the books, and his...
Tesla is one of Jeff's books.
Oh, yeah.
Scary Fails, Tesla, and Hyde. And he was just, I'm going to send, he wants a shirt. He goes, I wear your shirt everywhere.
Nice.
And
that's so cool.
Weird to me.
Yeah.
It's just so weird to me.
Tesla's really interesting, man. I've learned a lot about him, and I'll check out that book.
Yeah, he's got issues, which is fun. We just revealed volume 2 of Scary Fails, and it just blew out the doors.
Hey,
it was so cool.
How did your comics do? I know Liar is just out, right?
Liar, Scary Fails, and our horror book Roulette all dropped at the same time, and it just, people were like, you're coming out with 3 books at one time? It was like, yeah, it was really cool.
Very good, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we sold.
Yes, Angel.
So when you're going to this, there's an element, obviously, business, where you're like, hey, you know, we got the company. This is what we're bringing these titles in. There's an element definitely of networking, right?
Yeah, it's a lot to, you know, it's funny because I'm an attorney in Orlando, and in the rest of the world, I'm a comic book writer. So it is strange when you get out of this world and you go into that world and suddenly you're signing stuff and you don't really think about it, but I probably sign about, you know, a couple thousand, you know, things while I'm there. And you see the celebrities and you're hanging out, you're having a drink or laughing. And it's just a blast to be with all your friends because, you know, most people, when you do comic books, your artists and your writers and everybody are all over the planet.
Yeah.
And you get to meet like in one place. Like,
so
we
this
meet
is
here.
Your Super Bowl kind of.
Yes.
Everyone's is here.
It's my reunion.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
And you had a banner up from the upcoming comic that we were doing together.
Jolly Jane. Everyone's like, what's that, dude? And I was like, oh, no, that's Jolly Jane. And actually, the variant cover artist, Sora Soon, was there. And she goes, oh, I love drawing that character.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Nice.
That's really cool.
It was a lot of fun. And they're really excited. They go, what's it about? I said, oh, it's about this 28-year-old paramedic who gets possessed by this classic female serial killer. And they're like, what? And I'm like, I see, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah, good.
So they're really looking forward to it.
What are some other things that happened at Comic-Con that stood out?
Well, there's a couple things that I looked at that I thought was kind of cool. Kevin Smith was out there a lot. He was doing his thing.
Yeah, he's promoting something new. What is that?
Comic Book Men burned in. So they were actually sitting next to like a block away from us, and I was like walking over there going, it's kind of weird seeing them, but I guess, you know, they already had the spot. And they're doing everything. Kevin Smith is paying tribute to a bunch of different people.
I thought he said Hollyweed or something like that.
Yeah,
what is that?
Have you seen that network or what the deal is, basically?
No.
It's another new streaming platform.
Oh.
And it's all about weed?
Well, his show is. Huh. And in the context of being, you know, a...
You've said enough, I'm in.
That kind of business in Hollywood. Oh, but it's to promote this new network new streaming service.
And the weird thing, Marvel basically hadn't... They didn't display nothing.
Marvel already did all their stuff. They kind of shot their load, if you will. I don't think they
should do that. I mean, they have a big space. I mean, they're still out there pushing their stuff, but they're not in Hall H is like what you would call like the super hall.
Yeah.
And people wait out there for like nights to see exactly everybody there, and with them not there, it was kind of sad.
And the Walking Dead took over one whole hall, didn't it?
Because it was like Rick's goodbye, man. It was like Andrew Lincoln's. It seems sad.
It's painful. It's painful. It's like a mourning.
Yeah.
Like the Walking Dead stuff. Really? Normally, I see a lot of stuff, but Walking Dead this time was kind of like
people are sad.
It was like the end of the Hulk when the Hulk walks away in the TV show.
Oh, really? Well, Jeff, how often do you have the main kind of heart and soul character of the show that you know is going to be gone at the end of that you know before the season starts? It's very rare.
You got to write that check. You got to write that check. I don't care how much.
Is that what this is about?
That was not about that. It was not about money at all.
They
got
to lock these guys down for long term because I read what they're trying to do and what they're saying they're going to do, and I don't know if that's going to fly.
Yeah.
I mean, I see ratings, you know, and I to be honest, Carlos, they're dead to me.
After I died, I know you told me,
Carlos,
Jeff,
I can't help. I want your people
to write in.
Tell me what's wrong with me. I said, the minute I saw Carlos die, it was like a piece of my soul left my body.
Jeff,
and I was like, I'm not doing it.
It warms my heart a little bit every time you say that, Jeff. And when people come up to me and say that, it does make me happy. But look, it's the show's going through a transition. What is this, season 9?
Screw their transitions. I don't care.
They should have kept Alvaro. I'm with you.
Yes.
Hey, Jeff, just called
He's trying to help.
He just was out at Comic-Con in San Diego, which is a really big deal. While you were gone, they did announce that the movie with Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker is for real.
We talked about that.
And also that Robert De Niro might be a part of it.
Yeah, I could see De Niro. It's funny. There's a show on England. I don't know if you ever see their version of like the old Johnny Carson show is the Graham Norton show.
Uh-huh.
And they load up with the celebrities. They'll get like 7 guys on the panel.
Biggest.
And it's so great. You get a chance to watch them on YouTube or anything else. And you get to see all these guys show up. And they had this thing with De Niro and the guy who plays Loki, Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Tom Hiddleston, if you get the chance to see this is classic because Graham Norton starts talking. He goes, hey, Tom, you do an interesting version of Robert De Niro. And he imitates De Niro in front of De Niro in Heat. And he does Al Pacino and De Niro at the same time.
Wow.
You got to look this up.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic. De Niro takes it pretty well.
Yeah.
So he might be ready to start doing blockbusters again.
So, okay, do you think DC's finally going to start competing with Marvel? I mean, with the Joker, 2 Joker movies coming out, the Batman movie. Or they're just going to always be behind the 8-ball.
Well, it's really unfair to say that DC doesn't compete with Marvel. You're talking about movies, but look at television. You're talking 4 nights a week you have on primetime television DC shows. DC Online, you're going to have the new Swamp Thing, the new Teen Titans. I mean, as far as television goes, DC is crushing Marvel and TV.
Okay.
And their online presence is going to be huge because my buddy is running their DC Online, and they're going to have the Teen Titans. They're going to have the new Swamp Thing with Alan Moore Swamp Thing, which is going to be a live action show.
Yeah.
They're putting a lot of money into TV. And yes, movies are great, but you're going to make more money on TV than you do in the movies.
What do you think Teen Titans Go is going to do this weekend? I think it's got a good buzz, right?
Really? I don't know.
Yeah. It's got great on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm going to see it because it's me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a geek. I got to see it.
It's me.
I'll see anything, you know. Oh, if this was a Sonic the Hedgehog, I'll go out and
see it. Right. Who's the nerd of the week?
Well, this is a tough call, but you might not know him. His name is Nyambi Nyambi. Nyambi is an actor who used to be the second black guy on Mike and Molly. He's also on Atlanta. He's a huge comic book fan. I got to talk to him a bunch. He has a book at Image right now, And if you have a chance to look him up, he's a really nice guy. He loves comic. He's working on a reality show where he's going to go all across the country to comic book stores. It's going to be on Travel Channel, where he's going to comic book stores and to restaurants. And it's going to be like one of those cool, you know, this is the coolest place you need to go.
So, okay.
Cool. Niambi Niambi, look him up. Really great guy.
Very good. And, of course, you're back after a week.
So, you and I get a ride again.
Whenever you're feeling like it, you have red eye.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad, but we're still good. But, again, walking down, I'm sorry. I every time I hear it, I like, peace of my soul.
whenyouneedus.com to get hold of Jeff Kaufman. He is an attorney and owns a comic book company, but you know, whenyouneedus.com is how you can get hold of Jeff. We'll get some sleep, and whenever you're ready, we'll start writing again.
Perfect.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much. All right, now, when we come back, Carlos is going to take you to the top. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Radio 104.1 broadcasting live on iHeartRadio, and go to our website at monsters.fm to get information about the upcoming Monster Fan Appreciation Show. Now, what you do is go to our website right now at monsters.fm. See if your name is one of the daily five. If your name is one of the daily five, your name is up there, then you've got a pair of tickets to go to Universal with us on August the 4th for the Monster Fan Appreciation Show. So look now. What you do is if you see your name, you can get a hold of Blogging Molly right away and let her know that you saw your name and you want to win. Just go to monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and now it's time for Carlos to take you to the top.
Let's go. Good morning, everybody. Hello, my name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To the Top. Every single morning, try and take it to the top, make you think, make you laugh, whatever it may be. Today is no different. It is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
Well, what do you think about Wednesday, Russ?
I love Wednesday.
Anything else you want to say about Wednesday? Anything you may normally say about middle of the week?
No, it's just...
It hasn't flown by for you then.
Yeah, well you know why?
He's had a short week, though.
A short week, yeah.
Yeah.
I just started yesterday.
Well, man, it's been a great day here in the Monster Studios. Hell's a-poppin' a lot of different things. We've mentioned Demi Lovato. I want to send some love out to Demi Lovato. She's fortunately had to go to the hospital for an overdose. Karina said that it was not heroin, but then I've read other places that it was heroin.
Yeah, I don't know if she knows what she's talking about. I think if it's Narcan, it's heroin.
Well, I think Narcan can be used against a number of opiates.
Is that?
Yeah, I believe so. And I think, you know, you got to remember a lot of those opiates, I think chemically are derived from
the poppy,
the poppy, which gives us that beautiful, pure brown heroin that we love so much.
What was she using before?
It was alcohol and coke. And,
not enough.
Yeah. And she was off for a long time, and then she bumped back. And, you know, that's the motivational minute here, man. Look. If you're hoping for more money or success or fame to make you happy, it doesn't make you happy. sad to say. And Demi seemed like she was in great spirits.
You would think because she's so famous.
She's one of the most famous people in the world.
She's got money and everything. You would think, she'd just be happy all the time. Yeah.
Why is she not happy? She talked about her depression before. I'm not speaking out of school here or anything that I may know because I don't know other than seeing her documentary. And so just remember that, man. We're all imperfect. We are all, you know, working on things. So if you're struggling with some depression right now, if you're struggling with drug abuse right now, take it day by day. Take it minute by minute if you have to. But don't give up. Don't give up. You know what? And Demi's going to come back from this. And if you're going through right now, you will come back through this as well. I hope that connects.
That song that she just put out, well, I remember it being really, really, I mean, a great song.
A gripping song. I mean, talking about her coming back, you know, getting off the wagon again.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, alcoholism and drug addiction and gambling addiction, and addiction in general is a difficult beast to tame. And it pops up from time to time. And I'm lucky with alcohol, with me personally. You know, I get a lot of people always hitting me up about alcohol. I gave it up. It's not easy, you know. A lot of times you go, damn, man, I wish I could have beer right now. But it doesn't work out that way for me. It's not something that I could do as easily. And I have a really good support crew. And I've been through a lot of stuff and therapy and yada, 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 yada. And even then you can falter.
You know, look at Demi. She probably has the best in the world.
Yeah, a lot of these people don't have or don't feel like they have anyone to talk to simply because if they talk, then somebody runs the media to make a few bucks, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. So there's a sense of isolation with fame like that. You got to remember, money and fame aren't necessarily equal. You can name a lot of people who are extremely famous and aren't rich, and that is a totally different box altogether. She has money and fame. Again, both could be anchors. And, you know, it's kind of weird for people to say, well, you know, she's rich and famous. How could anything go wrong? But we have plenty of examples of people who are rich and famous and having it going horribly wrong.
Oh,
If you're not built to handle that, and if it's not part of the makeup, and fame is a byproduct of what you do, and you don't care for it, I can only imagine how overwhelming that could become.
And she's been famous since she's like 12.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
And maybe not by her own hand. I mean, a lot of those guys back in the day had stage moms and dads, got them into the game, weren't ready. They were ready. They wanted to be famous. The kids really weren't prepared.
Yeah.
And what kind of life could you have had being famous like that level at 12?
It's crazy, man.
All of your puberty goes through life with everybody watching. I can't imagine how difficult that must be.
Hey, now, was she a Nickelodeon girl?
Disney girl.
Disney girl, okay.
Yeah, Disney girl. And very popular, and her dad wasn't around for a lot of stuff, and so she went down the showbiz route, and she's a strong woman, and I wish her the best, and hopefully we'll hear some good news coming from her later. I wanted to mention, before I go into this list of, we're always talking about social media here, and Jimmy posed the question yesterday, should we be talking about social media? I've asked myself that question as well, because is it more important to us because we are so connected to it? And then I was like, well, when the president, you know, uses it as his basically only form of communication to the public.
It's in the news every day.
It's in the news every day. It's got to be something. And then when you see the amount of money that these people are charging per post, which I'm going to tell you in a second here, the Instagram rich list of how much these celebrities can charge per post. Yeah. It's insane.
And it's funny, to tie into what you're talking about, I have actually the analytics on the different types of social media and whether they are more popular or less popular and how much by.
Oh, awesome. You get a chance, cool. Yeah. But before I go into that, I wanted to mention a show that I know each one of you will... I can't say each one of you, because Russ, I forgot how you feel about this guy.
Uh-oh.
To me, this guy is a genius.
Okay.
No doubt about it. Though when they go back in the annals of history of comedy, there'll be a section on this guy on how he did it and how he fooled us every time.
But I don't like him.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember because he's a little vulgar. Okay. And I personally like it when people push it to the limits. I'm talking about Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, yeah. And, no, I think he's funny.
Yeah, and I'm talking about his new show, Who is America?
Okay.
Where he takes on these different outlandish extremist characters from far right to far left to far Israeli right to far, you know, redneck right. And does it so masterfully that as an actor, as a performer, as a guy who loves to bust balls, and I sit back and I go, you are the king, sir. I don't know anybody else who could do it. He's fooled everybody once again. He's getting these state representatives, these political figures, these very famous people, these reality stars, to do and say things that you would not believe. Has anybody here seen it?
I have not.
I know that.
My question would be this, because
don't rain on my parade. I love this man.
No. And this is the part. This is the struggle I have with it, right? Because he's just an expert at what he does.
Yes.
And this new show is amazing. It's a new cast of characters. So it's not the Ali G's.
No,
it's not. It's not any of those guys that we're familiar with.
Is it a Netflix?
Showtime.
Showtime. Okay. He created all these new characters, and he's presenting these new characters here.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant. I have a hard time laughing at it, though.
Why?
There is the cringe factor
factor through the roof. There's that element. But I have a hard time laughing because... it's real.
It is, and that's what.
And that's the difference. And that's the difference between when he did with Bruno or any of the other characters. You could see the farce of it, right? You could see
that.
Okay.
Oh, like that character in itself, or the whole, because it was, you know, nobody knew that he was faking and Bruno as well. I see what you're saying. That these
my
are real.
Struggle with it right now is that the people that he's dealing with, and the sentiment, and the things that he's getting them to do, and he's getting them to. Participate
can
in everything.
Can you give me an example so I know what it is?
I'll give you an example. Yeah. He had a state representative of Georgia chasing... He was playing the part of an Israeli soldier to show you how to detect
ISIS. It's very simple. You take iPhone, you shove it underneath their thing, you take a picture of their bare genitals, and you will see. He shows that. Then he has the state representative, and you know, they hate gay people, so you have to show your bare ass. He has the state representative pull down his pants and say, I'm going to turn you gay! I'm going to turn you gay!
No, he doesn't.
Georgia State Representative Jason Spencer, who bared his buttocks and yelled racial slurs on camera.
Did he really?
He started yelling sand N to the camera, that we're going to come and get you. And he starts, it's so outlandish and crazy. I agree with you, Angel.
The first one with where he got representatives, state people, basically to agree that the NRA should be training 3-year-olds.
Yes.
Oh, I heard about that.
A video. I mean,
and so the thing is, and that's what I'm saying. On one end, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. On the other end,
it's real.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. It's absolutely terrifying.
And that's what comedy is. It's always hovering on that edge of terrifying because we're taking the truth and we're magnifying it when we show it in comedy. And nobody does it better than Sacha Baron Cohen the magnifying glass on him with networks and people and politicians and celebrities.
I never thought he could do that stuff. I never thought he could revisit this kind of sketch or this kind of comedy because, you know, he burned his best characters. You couldn't bring Bruno anywhere.
My favorite Sacha Baron Cohen, I don't know if it was Alabama or it was Kentucky or where it was, but it was a MMA fight, right? Uh-huh. And it was in the cage, and there you got all these rednecks wanting to watch. And then he goes in the cage, they lock the cage, and he starts making out with a guy. And watch all the people get so mad. That is the funniest.
Okay, absurd and hysterical,
right? That is freaking hilarious.
This is not that. This that same of like
I know I'm doing the Chris Farley. Remember when if he was here, but there, he did one yesterday because he does both sides.
I gotta watch this.
He does the ultra liberal side, the NPR guy.
Yeah, he skewers everybody,
and he goes into this town, and I don't know exactly where it was, Georgia maybe, and he goes to town meeting to talk about how we are going to build the largest mosque in the North America in your town, and they're like, what the hell?
Like it's the worst thing they ever had.
Oh, like it's like I mean,
did they get Sarah Palin too?
Oh yeah, that's coming
she's
up.
The first one that came out. She's terrified for this episode.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. So it's only been two episodes.
What did he get her to do?
We don't know yet. We don't really know.
All we know is she cared enough about it to start bitching on social.
Oh, like, even before the show debuted, she went on network television and was like, "Hey, I got taken in by this guy, and it was horrible. he played such a mean trick on me.
They tricked me.
She's telling you already that it's bad.
And the guy already resigned. The state representative had to resign.
I gotta watch this today. Hey, can we
Listen, but yeah, check it out. It's called This Is America. We'll be back more.
We'll take a little break. Come back with more going to the top, and then of course in the next hour, Angel will bring you Monster Sports. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Now that we've all quit Facebook and have started talking to each other again.
Did you know your mom's been writing fan fiction?
I did not.
Very erotic.
No.
Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando.
Hey, remember to check on the website at Monster.fm and see if you are one of the Daily Five. If you are, let Blog and Molly know, and you have won a pair of tickets to Universal Studios to go hang out with us for Monster Fan Appreciation Show, which will be on August the 4th. If you don't win tickets and you want to join us out there, well, you're more than welcome to join us. We're going to take a big photo right in front of the radio studio, the broadcast studio that we always broadcast from. And then after that, we're going to ride some rides, maybe go do the Monster Makeup Show they got there, and then go have lunch at the Monster Cafe and go ride some more rides and end up at the Irish Bar that's in Universal. And it'll be a great day. So, be ready to join us and go see every day at Monsters.fm to see if you won those tickets. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, the Angel, and now Carlos is still taking it to the top.
Let's keep going. We got a lot to talk about. We always like to stay what's hot on the streets. It's hot on the gram. And the gram is hot right now because, man, oh man. I know you're a parent right now. Maybe you're not on Instagram. Maybe you are on Instagram. Maybe you got a little following. Maybe you don't. But this is where the money's at right now.
Instagram.
It ain't on Facebook. I mean, yes, there's different versions, different levels of Facebook money, no doubt. And Facebook owns Instagram. But when it comes to being part of the culture, being part of the conversation, promoting things,
There's really nothing better than Instagram right now, I would say. And the proof is in the pudding because they released the top Instagram rich list. So that means...
These are people that make money...
Yeah, these are people that make money per post on what they post
from
to
Instagram.
Promote. Yes, if they choose to promote.
This is going
to
hurt feelings.
This is totally going to hurt some feelings because the money is ridiculous. When you consider the overhead, when you consider the production costs, when you consider the capital that you have to not really put in to these posts.
All yet, you need is a cool apartment.
That's
and
it.
And an iPhone or a cell phone and access to a computer.
Not even an apartment, just one room.
Exactly. Now, these are big names that you know of. But what I want you to think about is all these other people that you see on social media, that you see obviously promoting things, that they're getting not these numbers, but they're getting good-ass checks. Trust me, good-ass checks. And to put into perspective how much these are costing... Do you guys remember how much it costs to promote on the Super Bowl? How much does a 30-second spot
$1 million
cost?
Spots, right?
Or more.
Or $2 million?
Well, it's progressed. No? I think it was $1 million like in 1992.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like two and a half now or something.
Yeah, $2 million.
And that depends on who's playing and stuff too some more times.
Yeah, estimates as of how much does it cost for a 30-second commercial? You guys ready? NBC will receive about $5 million for a 30-second commercial. During the Super Bowl. All right? That's ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's a good amount of money. But when you talk about these other people that are posting, you talk about a Super Bowl commercial. How much are we talking in production costs there?
Oh my God. Yeah, a lot.
You got millions. A crew, you got you got the cameras, you got the time.
Then you gotta buy the ad schedule. That's in more millions. Then if it's a SAG National, then you're paying out residuals. So we're talking millions upon millions upon. When you go to number 10, who is Kendall Jenner, with 92,400,000 followers, if there is a skin cream that you see her promote, and it says Bobbity Bobbity Skin Cream, and she posts it, and she even puts hashtag ad, it's bot.
It's already sold.
As she's posting it, it's beginning to sell.
On that second Bobbity.
And if you're that lipstick makeup company, you're going to pay her $500,000 for that one post.
Just for one post.
One post.
Wow.
If you're looking at Lionel Messi's 95,300,000 followers, each post of his, if you can pop a little sneaker on there, $500,000 per post.
Yep.
If you're Neymar, and we all know him, he's a soccer god, has a football, whatever, 101 million followers, you're going to pay him $600,000 per post.
Man.
We all know Justin Bieber, broke, probably don't have any money.
Nope. Yeah.
He's probably driving an old-ass Acura. You're going to pay him $630,000 if you have sandals you want him to promote.
I think you can get a couple Acura Legends with that.
I think so.
One with the 5-speed. Hey, that's what I want.
At what point
bad transmissions, though.
At what point is Instagram going to say, wait a minute, you guys are making way too much money. We need a part of this.
You know what? That's a really good point.
I mean,
you know what happens when they do that?
What?
It goes away. That's what happened to Vine.
Yeah.
Oh.
Vine wasn't cutting a good deal with its content providers. And then it was cheaper for them to shut it down.
Damn. I didn't know what the whole deal was with that.
Because we're talking billions of dollars here. And if you own Instagram, you're like, man, if Justin Bieber's going to get that, we should get a percentage.
1%. We should get 1%. You're right. I think they have a valid
I think that's the game.
Build it to a point where they need it so bad.
Well, because there's like two different streams on Instagram, right? There's the Instagram, like regular people use it, and then... At some point, they're Instagram celebrity or Instagram business.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So Instagram will be like, hey, if you want to monetize, you want to make more of this, we can help you with that, and we'll make sure your posts get out to more people.
Because
right now, they're throttling back on the people.
Oh, yeah, big time.
On the people that are on Instagram, and they've hit this certain level, right? They've throttled their accounts back so that their posts don't get seen as much as they want to.
It's done with almost all social media.
Yeah.
But... You know, with these guys, you could throttle all you want. People are going to see it because the second you like it, it kind of pushes it out more. But we just had what? Kendall Jenner, Lionel Messi, Neymar, Justin Bieber, and at number six, one of the most popular people in the world with 109 million followers, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Do you smell what The Rock is cooking? $650,000 per post, folks.
Man.
Six. So when he's promoting his movies,
So somebody handles all that for him, though, right?
No. The Rock is one of these dudes that you see him typing out response. Now, I'm sure.
But he gathers the money and everything.
Like, absolutely. He collects every last dollar.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't do that. He has people working.
He's got a team, man.
He's got a team, exactly.
Yeah. I hope he does business as the character. What do you want The Rock to push? What do you want The Rock to do? And always talks to himself in third person. I love that. The Rock doesn't do that.
That's Kraft macaroni and cheese, brother. We're not doing that.
Right.
But, Los, you know that when, like, for example, when he's doing this movie Skyscraper, and part of the deal and part of the negotiation is like, hey, listen, Rock, we need you to do 5 posts in regards to this movie. That's how that deal's done.
Totally.
So it's part of the total sum they paid him to do this movie.
Absolutely. And he was a producer on it as well. So, you know, it's all money in his pocket.
And these posts live in perpetuity because, you know, just because you put it up one time, unless you pull it down, when somebody searches your name and they start going through your feed, you'll always see that little spot.
Those are part of the deals. You know, my wife is doing this stuff right now with her YouTube video. She's getting paid for it and for these sponsored videos, and that's part of the contract. It's like you must leave it up for this amount of time because if not, they just pull it down. Moving on, number 5, Beyonce, 115 million followers, $700,000 per post.
Wow.
Number 4, Kim Kardashian, $113 million, $720,000 per post. Now we're getting in the top 3.
Think about this, too. This is a revenue stream that celebrities 10 years ago didn't have.
5 years ago. Three years ago, you wouldn't be getting these
really
kind of
last
numbers.
Week.
I got to tell you, though, I think it's relatively limited. I think it's easy to say that you hear that number, 700,000, 700,000, thinking, wow, she's making a lot of money off this. But the way that Twitter and Instagram and I believe a lot of these social media things work, if you start putting out too many ads, if it only looks like your account is there to make money, it will be irrelevant. People will hide it. So the weird thing about this is, you make that much per post, but I believe that is as controlled by the ability to post frequently or infrequently, so it doesn't look like your account is just a sales tool.
That's controlled by the celebrity, and that's purely what you're doing. Is like you're
that
right.
Drives the price up as well, because if you can only post that or post infrequently, it means that your per post price has to go way up.
Most of these people don't even promote anything.
Economic.
You know, most of these people do not. It's just the value of what, you know, it can bring, really. I mean, you don't see The Rock, you know, out there. These are my workout gloves. Check them out. They're comfy.
Dude, the only thing, outside of a project, right, outside of one of the movies and everything, I think he only did one post with his shoe deal.
Yeah, that's a couple. The Under Armour thing?
Yeah, I think there was only one or two of the Under Armour ones. You know what I mean?
Number 3, Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, the soccer god that was made out of marble and then learned Espanol and now is like a beautiful man and wife and babies and all that.
Yeah.
133 million followers, $750,000 per post. Now we're getting into the ridiculous range. And the number 1 and 2 spot are both held by ladies. Ah, single ladies! They're not single ladies. No, number 2. Who is it, guys?
Lady Gaga.
No, Lady Gaga not even on this list. Wouldn't even come close on this list, to be honest. I think she has such a niche kind of audience, I think.
Oh, well, hold on. Is it a politician? It's two ladies. Two female entertainers?
Entertainers. And I guess you could call one of them an entertainer.
Katy Perry.
Nope, not even on the list.
One of the Jenners. Kylie Jenner.
Kylie Jenner is number 1 with 110 million followers. And when she posts something, when Kylie Jenner posts something, you know it's the check here. Let me write that for you. $1 million. Give it to her. And then it's just a little click.
Yeah.
Click, and there's a million. There's a reason she's going to be a billionaire, folks. Self-made from the bottom up.
So who's number 2?
Number 2 is Selena Gomez.
Oh, okay.
And she seems like a sweetheart. 800,000 per post. Courtney and Khloe were also 11th and 20. So the Kardashians literally have a monopoly on Instagram. And
most of that list is people who are self-made, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I guess, you know, like I said, man, I don't think anybody's self-made. I think most people have had a lot of help. Every single one of these people had a bunch of help to get where they're at. And it's just insane, man. And I hope that you have an Instagram account that you're making money from. That's
right.
Not this kind of money, but hey, maybe you can work it out in your field, in your niche, in your industry, and make that paper, man. And I do know one thing, today will be a great day. To the top, never stop.
All right, when we come back, it's going to be Angel with Monster Sports. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
We'll be right back.
putting on the Ritz.
That does. Hey, thanks for listening to the Monster in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. Remember, we got some really cool things coming up. One of them is Universal Studios Orlando on August the 4th. And then on August the 10th, it's going to be the Monsters Back to School Skate Party at Astro Skate.
Yeah.
It's a night where you bring the kids. We never do that, where it's like a family event. But it'll be a family night. Do some skating at an Astro Skate on Goldenrod. And we're asking you to bring some school supplies to help a gift for teaching. So that is coming up on August the 10th. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim and Carlos. And now Angel's going to bring you Monster Sports.
Monster Sports brought to you by Harry Buffalo, located right there downtown Orlando on Church Street. The historic Rosie O'Grady's building, they're inside there. Great bar staff, great food. The largest television in downtown Orlando to watch any sporting event is located inside of Harry Buffalo.
And they know how to make pizza. I don't know if we reiterated that very much, but man, when they brought
yesterday's,
that pizza.
Actually, you just reminded me, yesterday's special was cheese pizza.
The cheese pizza. Yeah, that's for kids.
Why order that?
Where's the grown-up pizza?
It's good, they guys. Offer other pizzas. That okay. was just the one.
Jeez.
Holy pizza. Smokes. God.
Cheese pizza's delicious.
Cheese pizza for children.
What if you need half a cow on yours?
What day's today? Today's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Today, special at Harry Buffalo.
What I got?
Is the Burger Bonanza.
Ooh.
$8 beef burgers.
Oh, they got great burgers.
Yeah, and it comes with all the accoutrements. So that's Harry Buffalo, downtown Orlando. If you're looking to pre-party before Orlando City Soccer match this Thursday, come on, hang out. I'll be out there. We'll be out there. I start at 4 o'clock, so come swing by, say what's up, and get your party on before that, all right? A couple little tidbits here. 30 years ago today.
30 years ago today.
All right.
30 years, okay.
This cover was released on Sports Illustrated. She was labeled the fastest woman in the world.
Flo-Jo.
Flo-Jo. Got the SI cover for her running a 10.49 100 meter in the U.S. trials.
And nobody ever beat her?
Do you think that record stands today? Yes or no?
Oh, that was a question. I think it does.
That record stands today. Los, do you think her record stands today? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, Jimmy.
I think it does, too. I know that at last year, I believe that there was a Jamaican girl and an American girl that were fighting it out to beat that and be number one.
Her record still stands today.
Yeah,
wow. That's unbelievable.
30 years later.
Flo-Jo was for real.
If it hadn't, then I would have thought that they would have, you know, it would have been a big deal if someone beat her.
Go ahead. No, yeah.
Since that time, the men's 100 record has been broken. How many times?
Oh, wow. 10 times.
10 times?
Seven.
Seven? Jimmy?
I'll go 6 times.
The men's 100-meter record has been broken more than 30 times since then.
Huh.
And that's 30 years ago.
She had the long nails, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she passed, yes?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
which is crazy, right?
Right.
Yeah, because it wasn't like an accident or anything. She's, you know... I want to say it was heart failure. Did she have
something with her tights or something? Like one leg would be.
Yeah, she had iconic style. She was very stylish. So if I remember correctly, we're talking about the LA Olympics, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And she had the one where it was like her one bare leg and then the tight on the other one.
That's right.
To this day, nobody has even
beaten her record.
You want to see something very interesting? I believe you can YouTube it. It's that camera that goes along beside them when they're running.
Yeah.
And it just gives you an idea of how fast that she's rolling. I mean, it's in the right at 30 something miles an hour she's running. Maybe
that's
faster.
What Usain was running, about 30. That's the fastest ever human recorded.
One of my fascinations with minor league baseball is that they just come up with the best hats. They have the best gear. I myself was compelled to buy a Flying Chancletas baseball cap from San Antonio. I've reminded you guys from time to time, there was a baseball team that decided that it was a good idea for a promotion. They put a taco on their baseball cap. We've had burgers on baseball caps. Do you guys know? I think Jimmy might know this right off the top of the head, but there's three iconic minor league baseball teams, and they are still 1, 2, and 3 in the top 25 selling minor league baseball logos.
Okay, it's got to be Birmingham Barons because it was a big deal when I was in Birmingham because Michael Jordan played there.
The Barons are in the top 25, but,
wow.
but they're not the top three.
Really?
But they're in there.
Mud Hens?
Wow.
Toledo Mud Hens is still
third top-selling minor league baseball hat.
Why?
Just
it's a mud hen, dude.
Toledo mud hen. And that logo is on a baseball cap. So basically, one of them we should all know because of a baseball movie.
Oh, it's
Cleveland?
No, Crane.
Oh,
there's
God.
No Crane in baseball? No, that was...
Come on.
Oh,
I can't think of it, dude. I know, and I'm...
He hits a dinger onto the park. It hits the... In the butt, and then the tail goes up.
Oh, it's
and then he's got the chick.
Bull Durham.
Bull Durham.
Oh, okay.
Durham Bulls.
The Durham
are,
Bulls,
yeah,
right.
Durham Bulls are still the most iconic minor league baseball cap. And then the Portland Sea Dogs come in second as three of the top 25 best-selling minor league baseball caps of all time.
I will tell you, when I went to Birmingham, they were still proud of the fact that Michael Jordan played there. And they've got a big stadium right in the middle of Birmingham, Alabama. And everyone kept talking about it. I mean, it's a really big deal.
Wow.
There. Yeah.
You guys smell that?
Bacon?
Football! Training camp open today for 22 teams!
I thought you were talking about Harry Buffalo and like they were going to bust through the door.
With food.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Thanks a lot, dude.
With 22 teams starting training camp today, we had some key signings last night, or in the last 24 hours, try to get guys into camp. We're going to now, the next few days, we'll see the holdouts and what, guys who aren't showing up to camp. But, football is right around the corner. With that said, the story that you don't want to follow up on your day of opening camp is this. A second sexual harassment lawsuit has been filed against the NFL Network, where a former employee claims they were subjected to ongoing and continuing sexual harassment by the current and former on-air talent. This is was filed today. The names that are being mentioned in there, Michael Irvin, and basically all the same guys that were there in that initial one. Jamie Cantor is was a former wardrobe stylist that did the first initial lawsuit, accusing Donovan McNabb, Marshall Faulk, Ike Taylor, Keith Evans.
Michael Irvin is part of this?
Michael is named in both of these.
Eee.
So, really? Poor phrasing.
He's had some shaky stuff in his past.
Yeah.
Michael's not in this hurry.
And you guys that follow tennis, maybe you might have a better idea. Is it uncommon to test players after the a big game?
Big match or whatever, like testing for roids?
I don't remember.
I don't know how prevalent drugs are in professional tennis. I don't know how often they get tested.
It's not something I remember hearing much about.
I don't either, but I mean, it's a stamina issue in tennis, I believe.
Right.
I don't know if strength really makes that big of a difference because it's such a quick twitch sport, but I would guess stamina would make a big difference.
Serena Williams took exception to her being tested, says that she's being discriminated against with the frequency she has to go through drug testing. Williams took to Twitter on Tuesday saying she was again selected for an anti-doping test.
Oh.
Yeah, man, I mean, when you win that much, I mean, they did it to Lance Armstrong.
I guess what
I'm saying? If you win that much, they look at you and go, man, I mean, I don't know, over... How many years can you be the number one after a while when your body is aging and we know the effects of that? I mean, they do it to a lot of athletes like that. I don't know about that.
Well, I guess that's what she's questioning. She's an elite. And is it the fact that she basically ran through Wimbledon and was, on the verge of winning that, and that's what they're taking exception to?
Yeah.
It's the level of, or the frequency, I'm sorry, that she gets tested.
She didn't win, though, did she? Wimbledon?
No, she did not.
She got smoked. I mean, it was.
But she wasn't ranked either.
Oh, okay.
Or not in the top 25.
Yeah, she just had a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, she literally just had a kid.
I think she actually nursed it during the match.
Yeah.
So we had our guy Steven in here yesterday, and he was part of Shark Week.
Yeah, he'll be on this. The guy that was on yesterday, Steven Lee Hall Jr.
Yeah, he'll be on Sunday's episode.
Sunday, yeah.
Guess who else was part of Shark Week last night?
I don't know.
If you're a fan of this team, this is not what you want to see your starting quarterback doing.
Yeah. Oh, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, dude. That goofball.
What'd he do?
So he's part of Shark Week. He was signed, his deal for $140 million.
Ooh.
And he's part of the broadcast. What do you think? What would cause you concern if you were to watch this?
Well, if he was swimming with the sharks.
Okay, that's the first one.
Yeah. Well, how about anything? Because he's coming off a season where he was there half the time. So I would say anything that guy's doing that would keep him nowhere close to the football field, I would want him not to do.
Or something where he could injure his hands.
Yeah, anything.
Boom! His hands. So this idiot And I say that, you know, playfully, Aaron, it's just jokes. But, yeah, he decided it'd be a good idea to stiff arm a 10-foot blue shark during his dive.
Oh, yeah. with his right hand?
Yeah, with his right hand.
Oh, my.
So I'm sure he wasn't in any kind of real danger, but it's still the visual.
Could you imagine? Yeah. Left hand, at least.
You know what I mean? So, and then we'll wrap it up with this. Dwayne Wade has an offer right on the table to play basketball.
Back in Miami?
No.
It's got to be China.
China's offering him a 3-year, $25 million deal.
Well, he just signed a deal with I think it's Xi Ling shoe brand in... They have 72 stores or something insane like that. It's the Nike of China.
Wow.
It would be considered one of the most lucrative overseas deals in history and would make him the highest player in the Chinese basketball league.
You know what's interesting? The Chinese basketball league is doing what the MLS is doing. It's like they're slowly siphoning these major stars from these other leagues. Especially, it's basically the NBA.
You know who made it cool to play there?
Amari.
Ah.
Yeah, I think so, right?
Stephon May, he made it cool to play there.
Stoudemire?
Marbury.
Oh, Marbury. Stephon
Marbury. Because he was one of the biggest, more recent guys to do it. And it was so cool that, you know, the way he showed how he got treated out there. Other NBA players were like,
Holy smokes, man, are you kidding? It's probably like royalty.
Well, they put up a statue of him.
No different than, Carlos is perfectly right. No different than we treat the aging MLS stars when they come into town. Remember when Beckham went to L.A.?
Yep.
My God, it was like the royal family themselves moved into Sherman Oaks.
Right. Yeah,
and you know what, the next version of, you know how China is exploding, Africa. It's going to be the same way with all these Congolese players coming over, with all these African players coming over. It was the same thing that happened with China when a lot of the Asian players. Africa's going to blow up here in the next 10 years, man.
Like carrots.
Exactly.
Hey, Angel, I was talking to Mike Bianchi this morning about Orlando City Soccer and how, man, they're just, I mean, it's getting worse and worse.
No, they're doing good. They actually, they lost the last match, and it wasn't because of them. It was definitely 100% on the MLS and on the refs. That was a gross call that they made. But the new attitude, the way that they're playing, the new coach, it's a remarkable difference than what they were doing. Mm. So they are definitely on the right upswing. They just can't, like, what hurt them with this last loss was playoff, you know. Now they're getting into the area where losses are going to affect their opportunities for playoffs.
Sounds
you know
like
what
me,
mean?
Like during the Magic season. Right?
I'm not the only one saying it. I'm not going to. I mean, it's the truth. You know.
So, but Orlando City Soccer fans have not started to wane as of yet. No, we always talk about Orlando fans being sort of fickle. You know, like if we're happy. If we're not winning, then we're not going to the game.
I will say it in this regard, right? Because I bag on the Magic, and I bag on the Magic because this is not a one season thing that happened and got them there.
No.
This is over a 5-season period that got them to where they're at now, and now we're finally seems to be turning around.
Yeah.
Orlando City MLS fans are vehement. I mean, they're just vicious, right? But the attendance is still there.
It's still there.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The viewership is still there.
Okay.
So I don't think they're, you know. If the question is how soon do you think we're going to see empty stands?
Yeah,
another season or two, probably. You know what I mean?
Hey, and also, you know, finding out the news that the Orlando Magic will be broadcast on an iHeart Media stations and a part of our little group or whatever. Does that make you excited?
100%. I had a great sit down with Kravitz. I had a great sit down with Shot Doctor. Some opportunities are going to be afforded this way with access to certain players and whatnot. Not just with, because, I mean, they're the home of the Orlando Magic. They're the home of Orlando City. They're the home of NASCAR. Tampa Bay Bucks. So all that goes through our sister station. All of that, as things come up, we're going to be included in those conversations to speak to anybody on any of those platforms.
I think UCF baseball, football, and basketball,
UCF
too,
sports
so
as well.
Let's
so,
don't sleep on that because, I mean, they have a season coming up with a quarterback that's one of the most talked about players in the U.S. right now.
Heisman contender.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that
really?
Guy's a
Milton.
Baller.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Man. I mean, you can think about the season we're just coming off of. This kid's McKenzie Milton was a sophomore last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
dude,
they just started, spring practice, summer practice?
Yeah.
And on Sundays they do 3 varsity Apopka games, baseball games.
They probably do.
Yeah, so they got it covered. We got
love Taco. We'll be talking about that on our show with Brandon on Friday as well to kind of find out about all the cool stuff happening with
that sponsor sport.
Very good. All right. Oh, we got an update on the Sacha Baron Cohen story we talked about earlier, and I'll tell you what that is when we come
update
back.
Already?
Yeah, you're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
iHeartRadio is the easy-to-use app for music and radio. Download the free iHeartRadio app today.
Broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. Remember, if you have Alexa, you can say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio, and it'll do it for you. That's pretty cool.
It will.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick. Oh, go. I'm sorry.
No, no. I'm Russ Rollins, Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Dirty Jim.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, this is something we get on the texting service often, and we never really address it.
What's that?
But for the record, we don't know what's wrong with the traffic lady's voice. We never talk about it, but I know for a fact we get anywhere from 5 to 10 texts a day about Thomas Toledo Pole or whatever her name is. Or
she's not in this building,
though. Yeah. But she's not with us. She's not in the building. She doesn't work in this building. A lot of the services are shopped out. That's why you hear them get the names of the streets wrong occasionally.
Right.
They'll call it Samarin Boulevard instead of Cimarron or something like that. So that happens quite often. But I will tell you that we don't know. Her voice is bizarre. I don't get it, but we do not know who she is.
I have not paid attention to this.
I know. During the break, I'm not listening to the show or to the commercials.
It's like you don't hear her voice. She's saying, Heather's back.
Can you play it real quick, Angel?
No, I don't.
Oh, why now? What's the big deal?
I don't know how it comes in.
It's in the log.
It comes up as the log. So they log it in. So it's not like a thing we can access.
It's funny that people ask about it that much.
Hey,
they do, though.
I will say this. Tomorrow on the show, on the Monster of the Morning, another chance to win tickets for two to the Universal Studios Orlando big thing that we're going to do for the Monster Fan Appreciation Show. So listen at 7 o'clock. We got the Triple R segment at 7. We got that. And then Dirty Jim, tomorrow is Thursday. So it's Where You At?
Yeah, Where You At? And Meet of the Week.
So we got that all going on tomorrow on the Monster of the Morning. By the way, now I didn't know if you, I don't remember that you said this when you were talking about this segment, but I just kind of, it came out as breaking news, and that is that a Georgia lawmaker that was duped by Sacha Baron Cohen has resigned from his office.
Oh, as he
because should've. He is so embarrassed about what happened. And you told it to me. I don't remember hearing that he had resigned, but you just showed me the video.
I mean,
this guy, he somehow, Sacha Baron Cohen, he told him that he was a former Israeli military officer, and he was like, this is how you make sure an Israeli ISIS member doesn't attack you. You pull your pants down and you say, "I'll make you gay. I'll make you gay.
I'll make you gay."
And he actually did it. And
then he drops it. And goes, very good, very good.
I mean,
it's so insane.
Now this guy did an interview and he says he's quitting his job.
He needs to resign. He's resigning.
He's already just for the record though. He was already on his way out. He wasn't going to win re-election.
And another thing too, I heard also during the break while I was reading after you told that story, because like I got to see what this guy looks like. Apparently, when he got the boot and all this happened, his Republican partners weren't very surprised.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently he's just kind of a kooky guy.
He says that Sacha Baron Cohen and his associates took advantage of his paralyzing fear that his family would be attacked by ISIS.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
It's so unbelievable, really.
Now, do you think he'll be able to? Would he be able to sue Sacha Baron Cohen?
He's not gonna be able to.
His stuff is airtight, man. He uses the same crew every time. They literally sign away every single thing. When you say, hey, you're gonna be on camera for the things that you do in this moment with this person.
Yeah.
I mean, what else?
And ask yourself this. What would the charge be? That the guy talked me into being stupid? That's, that's not a crime. Right, that happens all the time.
He doesn't get everybody. He had Ted Koppel on there. Ted Koppel busted him in 2 minutes. It was 3 minutes long.
What Ted Koppel do?
Ted Koppel's sitting there, and I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, oh, no, not Ted Koppel.
Because I respect Ted Koppel.
Me too. I love Ted Koppel. And they have, and he's playing this right-wing Trump crazy right-wing Tea Party guy in a lark, and he's interviewing Ted Koppel in a lark with a little basket on it, and he's comparing Trump's inauguration audience, which was, as you can see here, at 11:52 p.m., people are still there, and it's a daylight picture.
Right.
And he goes, and you should see Obama's, and he zooms in, and he's like, they're all fake people.
Yeah.
And then DeCoppo literally goes, "Yeah, this interview's over," and stands up and walks out.
Oh, DeCoppo, no.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the Heritage American News personality. He can't be up in that business.
Yeah.
It happens to a number of them. It only takes one mistake at that level. I mean, we've seen that happen to even some of the fringe news guys who've made a couple of those erroneous statements or got caught up. And, I mean, your credibility's gone now. What are you supposed to do after that?
Yep. Listen to this, because there's a really fantastic article in The Hollywood Reporter about the people that have been duped on Cohen's shows, right? This or Borat or anything. Right,
Trump,
and basically, you know, the question is, can these people sue? And this is the a short part of the article. The response is, the short answer in the Cohen's victims face an uphill battle. Most of the lawsuits spawned by Borat and Bruno a decade ago were thrown out in their infancy. This is due in part to the clever lawyering by Cohen's attorneys, and in part due to long-standing legal doctrine that protecting free speech and expression. The failed lawsuits against Cohen and his collaborators illustrate why, and they basically start breaking down. There have been plenty of lawsuit attempts against him, and it looks like there's only been one time maybe that he might have settled, but everything else.
And he talked about that, and he said that the guy had, and there was something that he did there. He, in an interview, Sasha talked about that. He said, he knew.
Yeah, well, if you cross the line, you know, something like there are ways that you can angle it and ask things that really kind of set you apart from that. This is the kind of stuff that's
going to drive people crazy, because they're like, why is this protected speech? Why is this free speech?
Well,
but
art.
Why can't this person say whatever they want to say, you know?
You can label it as art. I mean, it's
absolutely.
You label it as art. That's how they get away with a lot of that stuff. You know what's interesting about that lawmaker in Georgia, though?
What?
I mean, you know, besides the idea of the ass thing and, you know, and it being...
And he's yelling the N-word.
And it being embarrassing. Of course, the N-word's never a positive.
That's never good, yeah.
Never a positive.
Pretending to be a Chinese tourist by yelling, wah, 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 sushi, sushi, sushi.
Then there's that. I mean, I guess this is just a sandwich of dysfunction. You just keep adding layers.
My God.
But the truth is... Do you want anyone making law that could be fooled that easily?
Oh, dude.
No, exactly.
I don't
know.
Want anyone in office. Democrat, independent, yes. Libertarian, hardcore Tea Party guys. I don't want anybody in office so stupid
that
they could be fooled by something like that.
I've thought about this a lot. And did you see when Mark Zuckerberg was on the stand and the lawmakers were asking about technology? It was scary how misinformed how little they know about technology. And technology is literally going to be what carves out the rest of our existence.
Mm-hmm.
And they are clue. We used to have astrophysicists. We used to have super brainiacs that put together the NASA program and put together the atomic bomb, the Manhattan Project, and all of these guys that were about science. And now we don't have those. And that's all that we're banking the future with.
The term limit thing could be really made with that press conference there, because you get a guy there that's making laws for the modern world, you know, modern America.
Right, and a comedian.
And he looks at a guy who has a business that's making billions of dollars. He's a kid, for lack of a better word. And he looks at Mark Zuckerberg and goes, well, you know, your overhead and everything. Well, how do you pay for it? And Mark Zuckerberg goes, beat, we run ads. He did not simply understand the mechanism of the biggest social media icon, giant, titan in America. The one that started everything, really. I mean, MySpace, you can get... And MySpace never reached epic proportions like Facebook.
No, this is
used by grandmothers and teenagers all in the same house.
Yeah.
It's way different than that. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, man. If you wanted to ever kind of put in the idea of perspective of term limits, you get somebody up there 79, 80 years old...
Completely out of touch with
what's happening in modern America. They should not be making laws for us.
And I tell you, who doesn't have... You know who's the country that's running with all their elected officials that know technology? China. China, all of them. And they don't do like little 4-year term limits or 6-year. No, they look at like 10, 20, 30-year projects. And that's why they're kicking our ass on a lot of different levels right now.
Yeah. Well, so I'm going to go and watch that today. So it's Sacha Baron Cohen.
Who is America?
It's called Who is America?
I highly recommend it to anybody who loves brilliant, vulgar, crazy, outlandish comedy.
And if that doesn't put you in a good mood, you can go to Monsters.fm and see monkeys using hair dryers. Because I've been pushing that all day.
Man.
And I got to tell you, you got to give it a shot.
I respect it.
You know what? Because it made me laugh. And also, Angel put up Because Goats Rock, which is very funny, too. Death Metal Rooster, just
That's still my favorite.
And Cute cute piggy, cute pig rules. So all of those, look, all of those are designed to hopefully make you laugh and giggle. And there's information about the Monster Back to School Skate Party on our website at monsters.fm. On the monsters.fm. Also, I have one for those of you who are Kiss fans. I know a lot of Kiss fans listen because I'm a huge Kiss fan. Nick Simmons, who is Gene Simmons' son, TMZ catches him and asks him about something stupid that his dad said, that Gene said, and to watch this kid try to explain why his dad says stupid stuff is really kind of funny. He's like, "Dad, you're like the Donald Trump of rock and roll. Won't you just shut up?" He's like, "God, Dad, just my mom's gonna hit him upside the head." And he goes, "Let me explain what my dad Gene is trying to say." And he tries to explain his dad, and it's actually kind of cute. You can tell he still loves his dad, but he's so fed up with the stupidity that the guy says. So anyway, that's on our website at monsters.fm if you get a chance. Dirty Jim, last night you had
Hell Tuesday
cooking night.
Oh, I want to tell you, this week's Primetime Kitchen is very interesting. It's when we go to visit St. Pete Clearwater, hashtag VSPC. So we visit some really cool places. It's a fun show, so check it out this Friday night at 8 or Sunday morning for the replay at 8 as well.
You can vote for the best villain actor of all time now, and when you vote, you're eligible to win a $100 Fandango gift card, so go voting. We're about down to the finals. The skate party's coming up very soon. Join us. It's the Monster Back to School Skate Party, and it's all to raise supplies and donations for A Gift for Teaching. That will be on August the 10th at Astro Skate.
Check me out at Walker Stalker. Go to walkerstalkercon.com and buy your tickets. Sign up with me, and it's going to be August 11th and 12th. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters at 3 o'clock. It's the one and only Jim Phillips from the Phillips File. Then it's Tom and Dan. Then it's Real Laughs with Monster Comics, and we're back tomorrow for a Thursday edition to do our thing. From Dirty Jim, Angel Rivera, and Carlos Navarro.
And the leader of this mess, the merry man, Russ Monkeys Rollins.
Those monkeys are funny. Hey, thank you so much for listening. We ain't got to go home.
We got to get the hell up out of here.
Swirl.
Making sure we're on the same page, whatever the hell this is.
I'm beating the crap out of the guy. I don't care if his junk touches me.
Real Radio 104.1.